Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
The internet is full of half-truths and all-out lies. We've all seen them, and many people on social media complaining about it. Here's your chance to show and prove. WorldAfropedia.com is a black-owned and operated encyclopedia. There are several thousand articles, but we need help. We can't uncover all the truth ourselves. So please, join us and become a writer, editor, or blogger for WorldAfropedia.com today. Every little bit counts. We owe it to the future generations to put the truth out there. Visit WorldAfropedia.com, the African-centered encyclopedia, a global database of African knowledge for the purpose of bringing about global African wisdom and understanding. WorldAfropedia.com.
I was looking, I thought sexual harassment would pop up in the book, and that didn't really, that wasn't really touched on. That's something that comes up regularly when we do our weekly session on workplace racism. Do you have any suggestions for dealing with sexual harassment? And I would definitely include unwanted touching, because we've had a lot of people as well, males and females, where it's someone coming and hugging them, and they've made it clear, you know, I don't really want to hug. Like, if we can handshake and, you know, yeah, we work together and everything, but I just don't want to hug. And the person continues to insist on hugging them. Do you have any suggestions, recommendations?
Oh, yeah. First and foremost, I do not tolerate, I don't tolerate anybody violating my body in a way that I don't want them to. So if I don't want to hug somebody, I would just say that, you know, I really am not comfortable with hugging in the workplace. I would prefer, my personal standard is a handshake. That's what I would prefer. That's what I do with others, and that's the way I want you to do with me. And I would have that conversation, and then I would have that conversation as many times as I need to, and I would have it in real time in the moment when the hug is about to happen, because I don't think anybody should be subjected to, you know, any kind of touching that makes them feel uncomfortable. That's just like my baseline. I have one of my personal feelings about sexual harassment is either one of two things. Either A, I'm not attractive enough to be sexually harassed, or B, I think I have an energy that comes into an interaction that says I am probably not the one. And I coach women on how to have that, and to be able to powerfully stand for themselves when they feel they are being violated, or when they feel someone has spoken to them inappropriately, or is making a suggestion to them that is inappropriate. I believe in standing your ground when it comes to that, because there is no amount of salary or pay in the workplace that could cause me to violate who I am at my core, and I don't allow anybody to violate my body in any kind of way. So I tend to be on the rougher side of that, and that is definitely not the delightful version of me. But I encourage women and men to make their path and make their position very clear when it comes to workplace harassment.
Ah, Shay, it is definitely B in terms of the energy that you give off to not be violated in that manner. Can you share kind of one of the things that you share in your coaching in terms of so that people can give off that energy to not be violated in their personal space?
Yeah, so let me just start off by saying one disclaimer. I am not blaming the victim by any stretch of the imagination. I am totally acknowledging that there are people who exercise their power and authority over others that has nothing to do with the energy they bring into the space, but has everything to do with the power and influence they think they have, and just exert that in ways that is inappropriate. So I want to just make that disclaimer first. And then secondly, in terms of coaching, and I'll start with women, I approach people and I tend to have a little bit more masculine energy when I'm in the workplace than when I'm home. And this is some coaching that I got way back when I had my children first. I actually had three boys, and I remember a male family member saying to me, you better put some bass in your voice because those boys are not going to respond to your mommy voice. So I got a very clear sense that there's a way my voice projects when I'm in the workplace that subconsciously sends a message of male energy. That's one way. There are things about dress that there are certain types of clothes. I have a wardrobe that's for hanging out, and I have a wardrobe that's for the workplace. And never the two shall mix. So how I present myself in the workplace is a part of my brand. I am very much committed to people having a personal brand and being clear about what your employee brand is and what you want that brand message to be. And just like any tagline for any product, I am clear about what the tagline for my work is. And so when you have that framework of a brand, you'll find yourself operating like that at all times. And then, you know, there's all that other stuff around, you know, how you approach, where you sit at a table. I am very conscientious about where I sit for meetings. There are power positions around a table. If I'm the one leading a meeting, I don't allow someone else to sit in the power position. That's a whole body of work. My life coaching clients, as a matter of fact, I'm reminded of a life coaching client I have. I actually saw her on Sunday of this week, and we were working on a number of things regarding, her brand in the workplace. And we probably worked together. She had probably about seven or eight sessions. And the report she had was so incredibly positive of the changes that have happened. The answer for her was actually to change workplaces. She has a new job. She has a renewed sense of confidence. And some of those suggestions that I gave her specifically had to do with her practicing her brand and what she wanted her brand to be. And what I thought was brilliant about what she did was that she used that coaching on the job where she was to practice and perfect it. And so now that she's got this new job, she gets a chance to start all over from scratch and to go in there with this new brand. So these techniques are very, very effective.
Awesome. Awesome. With, I guess you gave some for females. What about for males in terms of just one thing that you recommend to make sure they can try to preserve their physical space, not, you know, be subject to any sort of unwanted touching or physical violation?
Oh, yes. So specifically for African-American men, because there is something in our society that causes men and women, I would say especially women, to see African-American men as intimidating, I coach men to stand a little bit of a distance or turn your body in a way so that people are not feeling violated. So, for example, if you're standing talking with someone, be conscious of your body language so that they are feeling like they have more personal space than they might normally have with somebody else. And if in your personal relationships or when you're around other African-Americans, you might have a closer degree of personal space. But when you're interacting with someone, especially someone who's a woman, to just extend that personal space a little bit. I also coach men to not touch women at all in the workplace. That if you are meeting someone, it's fine to outstretch your hand for the traditional handshake. But beyond that, don't do extra things. Like, I've met men who will do the handshake with the right hand and then take the left hand and touch the arm or forearm or shoulder. And I coach, especially black men, don't do that. I coach them to do the other things that demonstrate listening, like lean in when people are speaking to you, but lean in such a way that people know it's because you're interested in what they're saying, but not in an intimidating way. And I actually hate to say this one out loud. I'm embarrassed to say this one out loud, but just like I talked about having to put bass in my voice as a woman, there are times when men should soften their voice so as to send a message of not being authoritative or overbearing. And sometimes for men, it's difficult for them to do that.
Why is that? Why was that difficult for you to say?
Because I'm very conscious of African-American men feeling as if they have to blend into the woodwork and be invisible like the butler. And actually, in my research for the book, I did several focus groups with African-American men. And whereas height is a benefit for white men, height is seen as an inhibitor for some black men because it makes them even more inhibiting or intimidating. So I'm embarrassed to even say to black men to soften your voice because I don't want to add to that narrative of them disappearing into the woodwork. So that's the reason I feel embarrassed to even say it. However, it's just one of those tools and techniques. It's just like as a woman, I have no problem with putting bass in my voice when I need to.
Wow. We're finishing up Sam Greenlee's The Spook Who Sat by the Door, which in my view deals a lot with workplace racism. A part of the main character's lament is he says for him to succeed as a black male in a corporate work environment, he would have to give up his balls. And just how would you respond if folks who say, you know, some of your suggestions, which are totally logical, which I totally get as a black male, but how would you respond to people who say, well, what you are subscribing is self-emasculation. In order for me to be less intimidating to succeed as a black male, what would your response to that be?
So that's the reason exactly why I hesitated to say it. But here's what I would tell people. Number one, understand clearly the role of your job and your time and place in the workplace. It is not designed for you to build wealth or build generational legacy, financial legacy for your family. It is designed to keep your lights on and keep the internet running so that you can have some kind of enterprise that will do that for your family. So don't ever get to a place where your job is the sole source of your family's economy. And secondly, don't ever let go of that which makes you human, that which makes you whole, and frankly, that which makes you black. I also, you know how we have this saying, you know, I ain't got to do nothing but stay black and die. That is what I need to do. I need to continue to be me, and I would encourage all of your listeners, continue to be you, but understand what environment you're working in, understand the culture of the company that you work in, and by all means, please be as much of a change agent as your checkbook allows you to be. You know, push the envelope, challenge the system, be a change maker, challenge the status quo, be the one to raise your hand and say, you know, I'm sorry, I don't find that funny.
Context of white supremacy. Gus T. Renegade in for another broadcast, hopefully to share constructive information on the system of white supremacy. Today's date, Thursday, June 14th, 2018. So I have been told this is our weekly broadcast on neutralizing workplace racism. If we have listeners, any listeners, always make sure I begin. If we have any listeners who have figured out, hey, I don't have any workplace racism problems, things are great. I get all my raises on time. I get excellent, and I mean superlative, evaluations every single time. I get all of my bonuses. I never have any problems getting vacation days, sick days, personal days, anything. If I need a transfer, if I need a new office, if I need a new computer, never a problem. I'm never accused of being aloof, not talking enough, not fitting in. You should be the very first person to dial in with suggestions, details, how did you do it? And this is what we can do to emulate your success. Also, if you're in that position, invest in the cows, racism-notes.blogspot.com. PayPal button is in the top right corner. Number to dial if you want to call in and tell us how you achieved such a remarkable amount of prosperity on your job, the number 641-715-3640, the code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. If you have problems, haven't figured out some things, difficulty, have problems getting time off, if you need child emergency, anything like that, feel free, dial in, let us know. The number 641-715-3640, the code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Special program today. Gus T on the road at the birthing center. My homie, black female, she is about to give birth, and I'm hanging out at the birthing center. She already has one little one. And about to be number two, so I'm doing double duty. Might say I'm working two jobs, doing the broadcast and offering support to a black female who may give birth at any moment. She's been in labor for hours now, most of the day, but double duty, so you might hear some crying in the background, what have you. We'll navigate as best we can. I had contemplated not doing a program at all, but the birthing is taking a little longer, and they do have Wi-Fi at the birthing center. Natural childbirth, by the way. Natural childbirth. But yes, they have Wi-Fi at the birthing center, and things calm, so we are doing the broadcast. That's it. Before we get to the callers, if you would like to email, if you are not able to call or don't want to call, you can drop an email untiljustice@gmail.com. Untiljustice@gmail.com. And we can read your commentary or suggestions on the air. Few things before we get started. Number one, the T-shirts have arrived. Counter Racist T-shirts. That we've been talking about, that I've been wearing to my yoga class and what have you. They arrived. Trav said he will start mailing them out, I believe, today. The shirt should start to go out. So if you give it, I would say within 10 days or so, if you submitted and you wanted a shirt, if you ordered, you should have your shirt. I do not recommend wearing it on the job, but at least 10 days or so, shirts should be in. Check. Next, I was out and about here in Seattle, Washington. I was at the local grocery store, one of about 500 that are in a three-block radius of my hipster Seattle residence. And I went, and there was a very pretty black female who works at one of the stores, seen on a regular basis, natural hair, highly melanated, very attractive young lady. I try to chat it up with her whenever I see her when I'm going through the store. I stopped through yesterday morning after my yoga classes, went in to get my healthy snacks, what have you, right? So I can refuel, recharge, be feeling great. And I see it. We're talking a little bit somehow. I'm trying to track how we got to racism, because I said before, I don't bring up racism with non-white people, because I think, you know, who knows, they might be confused or anything. So she, I believe, saw a white woman in the store, and she had her children with her, non-white, and she said that she wasn't a fan of that sort of thing. And I said, me neither. And so I think things started from there. Somehow we got to workplace racism, and she said, you know, I hate it. You know, people come in and they can't pronounce my name correctly, or won't pronounce my name correctly. And I've told them, she said, I've even had phonetically spelled name tags and what have you, so it's no excuse, and they still botch my name up. She said, I had someone come in before who said, what's your name? She told them, they said, maybe we can call you something else. Do you have a nickname? And she was like, what are you talking about, nickname? Then she said, another person came. They said, what's your name? She told him. He said, let me see if I can remember. That's hard. And so they come back the next time. They said, I got it. I figured out how I'm going to remember your name. This is what I do. This is my mnemonic. Key lime pie and Aunt Jemima. That's how I remember your name. Key lime pie, Aunt Jemima. No idea what that has to do with remembering someone's name. I don't know if Aunt Jemima is serving key lime pie or what, but that was the next one. Then she says that we talked for quite a little bit. Then she says, man, some days I go home from work. I get in the shower. I can't even look at myself in the mirror because I'm so angry and frustrated about things that have happened at work. Now, how many black people listening in right now can relate to that? Unfortunately, that right there is exactly why we have workplace racism every week. And I contend there should be way more. I don't know if necessarily excitement, but a greater sense of urgency about how important this particular topic is, as opposed to, you know, other things that people get very eager and excited to talk about. Black Panther. Sexual intercourse with whites. Anyway, I did even have to take a step back and rebuke myself briefly because we had this whole discussion. We've been talking for a while. I told her, hey, I'm doing my yoga training and you should come take my class and all that, blah, blah, blah. And all of that, forgot to say, oh, yeah, we do this wacky program on workplace racism. Maybe you should participate if you're having all of these issues and it's causing you that much stress. I totally forgot. And generally, I do not suggest people check out the cows if I meet a black person in person because the confusion is so high. And same thing a lot of other people have experienced. I generally do not bump into black people that are enthused. Yes, I want to talk more about race, especially not here in the Seattle area. But I should see her again. I will definitely recommend and make sure I can share information to her. I cannot believe I didn't even think. Maybe she'd be interested in workplace racism. Anyway, that's why we do the program. I'm sure folks can relate. Next, the surveillance aspect, or even before I even get to that, Gus T, in addition to hosting Workplace Racism, I am probably about to be a regular participant myself with this broadcast, Workplace Racism. My yoga teacher training starts next week, 7 days from now, next Wednesday. That is pretty much like a job. Most people that do that, their process would be you go through the training and then you would be employed at the place that you complete your training. Not everybody, but for a lot of folks, that's what the process looks like. So, yes, this will pretty much be like work. That's the way that I'm looking at it. Going in, I'm not sure if it'll be exclusively white people. I have no idea. I know that the trainers are white, but I don't know the other students that are going to be going through the training process. But that's what, the way that I'm looking at it. I am going to wear my counter-racist t-shirt because this is not exactly, I am not looking to gain employment with the people that I'm training with. So I can be a little freer with my codification, what I say, how I conduct myself in this 3-month training process. So I'm looking to have fun, to learn a lot, and to explore counter-racist options in this setting. It'll be great, and I'm looking forward to sharing how people respond to my shirt, talking directly about racism in the class, all of it, and everything that we talk about here, keeping that in mind and applying it. One of the first ones immediately, and I cannot emphasize this enough, surveillance, the fact that you are under surveillance in the system of racism, white supremacy, every time on your job, really all environments, but I would say especially your job, that is really not something that you can minimize. And I can give it to you in this yoga context, just from something that happened this week. I go to class. This was Tuesday, 2 days ago. I go to class. This is the 7 a.m. class. Important for context, this is before 7 a.m. Get to class. It's a substitute person I've never seen before, never talked to before. White man, suspected race soldier. I come in before 7 a.m. Never seen this guy before. Never seen him. Never taken a class before with him. Don't know anything about him. I come in and he says, what's your name? And I tell him, he says, oh, I've heard about you. Now, it's not even 7 a.m. I've never seen this man before, never taken his class. He's already got a dossier on Gusty. He says, oh, I've heard about you. You've taken like 40 classes in a month. And I'm like, what the? What are you talking about? And he says, oh, yeah, they told me. No. Now, if the yoga instructors are swapping this sort of information where they know about you before class, that never even seen you, and they know about your history at that studio, that's what I mean. Like, you really, and most black people, including myself, Gus T, I don't think we understand how much time whites spend talking about us, especially whites that have access to us on a regular basis that are around us. I just don't think we understand how focused they are. They are studying. That's how you maintain and refine a system of domination like what they have. You have to study. This is not ignorance. This is not laziness. This is refined surveillance. They don't even need the facial recognition. That's just, you know, add that on for extras. And I can give you this multiple times, even just within the yoga context. Different studio, different white person, white woman this time. I went in, I got a brand new yoga mat, just got a brand new yoga mat from one of my listeners, which I absolutely love. But previously, when I got a brand new yoga mat from one of my listeners via my wish list at Amazon, I had that mat for 2 days. I think I had used it for maybe 2-3 classes, tops. Come in with my yoga mat, put it down, white female comes in, she says, oh, you got a new yoga mat. How are you enjoying it? I've had it twice, maybe 3 classes, maybe. And she immediately recognizes. I have taken like more than 25 classes with people, and I could not tell you what type of mat they have, what color it is. I certainly don't think I would recognize, like, oh man, you got a brand new mat. You've only had that for 2 days. You are under surveillance, especially on the job. That means take that seriously with regards to what you say, leaving things around your work area. If you leave things on your computer screen, just as much as you can think about, keep that in mind. Do not think you're slipping in, you're going to tiptoe around and do this, that, and the other, or they're not paying attention to me. Wrong. They are paying extraordinary attention to you. And my general sense is the more you seem like you are less confused, the more attention they will pay to you. Just keeping that one as we proceed. Number again, 641-715-3640, the code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Before I forget, that was Allison Manswell. We heard at the beginning of the program. She's been a guest on this program back in 2016. We talked about her book, Listen In. She was also a guest on NPR right in the middle of 2016 when Philando Castile and Alton Sterling were executed by race soldiers and the shooting in Dallas against the police officers right in there. She was on NPR to talk about that and racism and her book about workplace racism. But that segment, I thought, from when she was on The Cows, where she talked about her advice for dealing with unwanted touching and sexual harassment, talking about her hesitancy to tell black males to speak up. And maybe, in fact, you want to lower your voice in a workplace. Maybe, in fact, it is not a benefit, an advantage for you to be tall in the workplace. I thought that was very important. And that material, what she said about that, is not in her book. That had people had referenced her saying that on the program before. And I said I was going to include that for workplace racism. There it is. You can get her book again. It's called Listen In, and you can visit her website. It's online. Allison Manswell, black female, context of white supremacy. Alrighty. If you dialed in and you have commentary you would like to share, hand should be up. I will keep an eye on my email to make sure if folks have written commentary in, we can share your commentary online. We're live during the broadcast. Folks dialed in with a hand up and you have comments you would like to share, lines should be open. Proceed.
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir. Greetings, retired firefighter. Heard both of you. I guess we'll start with retired firefighter.
I was just wondering with the lady who mentioned about it's, I don't know if she said at some times or all the time that black males may want to lower their voice. I was just thinking what would she would say about an environment that is male dominated, such as the fire department. Just wondering about that. That's all.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if you, if you're in a male dominant.
I can understand. I can understand in some other environments, yes.
Hmm. I would think absolutely. In that sort of environment, I don't know if it would necessarily benefit you if you're working with a lot of white men to be timid or quiet in conversing with them on the job, especially some of the hijinks that we've talked about over the years with the fire department. I don't know if that would be the best mode to deal with them. Maybe if you're in a setting with more white women, that might be a better way to go. But I think with white men, and especially if it's a white male dominated environment, I think you might want to put some bass in your voice and be direct in dealing with things that are happening. I could be in error. Is that, what's your thought about that, retired firefighter?
Well, it's interesting. You mentioned white females. I would say from my experiences as the hiring of females became more and more, of course, it was more white females than non-white females. Some of them actually take on the presence of males in many different ways. So it, I don't know. At some points in time, I didn't even consider to lower my voice with most white females for that reason, because maybe from the situation, a lot of them are sexually confused. I mean, crew cut, haircut, sleeves rolled up and all, and or from the standpoint of them taking on the personality of a white male in that environment, that even before I actually thought about anything, that I wouldn't lower my voice, so to speak, around the non-white black ladies. Yes, that's almost automatic to me, on a job as well as off a job, as far as that concerned. But with the white females, something to think about. That's it.
Indeed. Indeed. Folks can feel free to comment on that as we proceed. As I said, definitely with white men, I don't know. And I have been accused of being aggressive, intimidating by other folks in workplace capacity. And I am taller, over 6 feet, and I guess you all have heard my voice. You can judge for yourself. But, yeah, folks can let us know how that's worked out for you dealing with white males, white females. If you change things up, you can let us know as we proceed with that. Let's see. I heard a number of folks speak up simultaneously when retired firefighters spoke. Let's see. The person... You're on a headset, I think. Did you have commentary? You might be on the vote line. Did you have commentary?
I'm on a headset, but I'm not on a voice line.
We'll take Mr. Steele. Greetings, Mr. Steele. Hope your surgery from the wisdom teeth is healing rapidly and you are feeling and looking much better. No more chipmunk cheeks.
Oh, yeah, I have a pretty normal face. I'm off any sort of painkillers or pain meds, and I'm using some sort of prescription mouthwash to keep my wounds all cleared of any sort of infection. So I think I'm relatively back. And then, you know, my back and my neck, they're still hurting and everything like that. But at the same time, I feel better than I have in a long time. So thanks for asking. I really do appreciate that. And, you know, I was listening to the opening clip that you had to start the show. And I was reflecting on all of the times that I was in the workplace and how true the words that she was speaking were about how black males have to conduct themselves in the workplace. And I've come to the conclusion that if you are a black male, you have to do everything that you can to avoid the workplace, that sort of office environment, reporting to, suspected racists face-to-face on a regular basis and continuous ongoing exposure to them. For your health, for your mental health, for your mental well-being, for just your sense of self and your sense of masculinity, all of these things, you want to avoid the workplace. I've seen that a lifetime of working in the workplace has not done my father too many long-term benefits, and it probably had adverse effects to his health. Ever since he hasn't been in the workplace and he's been kind of forced into an early retirement, his health has improved dramatically, and his sense of self has never been better. And he just is overall a more calm and an easier going person to get along with. And it's not lost upon me that he is no longer in the super hostile, so-called work environment. Myself, I recently, landed a position outside of, the regular workplace, and I couldn't be happier with it. I have to stress that you have to look for these opportunities, that allow you to work remotely, allow you to capitalize on some of the skills that you may have gotten in the workplace. For instance, if you're, you know, working in a sales job, you probably use Salesforce. You know, you can sit there and you can learn how to use Salesforce in a capacity where you're the administrator. And then you can sell your expertise as an administrator, as a Salesforce administrator, two different companies, and you can do Salesforce administration remotely. There's so many different opportunities that exist where we can earn a decent living and not have to deal with such an overtly hostile environment that is designed to really kill you slowly. And, I just think that we need to focus on different opportunities that we have to work remotely and to not have to go and report to an on-site office. That's going to kill you in the long run. And it's just, and just listening to, you know, all of the steps that lady was saying that, you know, black males have to take to just get along in that environment. It's not an environment that you should want to be a part of or should have to tolerate, and do your darndest to find an alternative. And for me, luckily, you know, I have recruiter skills and I have business development skills, so I can easily farm out those skills to different firms, and that's what I've done. And and it's been working out for me really, really well, way better than reporting to an office. I'll go ahead and mute my line at this time.
Appreciate that, Mr. Steele. I know some of our listeners before had talked about that, like even trying to make resources available so that other non-white people, one, to encourage them to do exactly what you said, to look for those type of opportunities where you don't have to go into that sort of hostile, toxic work environment, and then, you know, see if I can take practice speaking with my voice raised 5 octaves and all the other jazz, to see where you can find environments where you can work from home or you don't have to participate in all of that. And even listeners were saying trying to collate resources so people would have a better job of or have a better idea of where to look, how to look for those types of opportunities. I definitely can see the benefit and value of that. Other folks that we have not heard from, if you have commentary you would like to share, commentary on what's been discussed thus far, if you have your own situation that you would like to share, line should be open. Proceed.
Good evening, Gus. This is Scotty, North Carolina.
Greetings, founder of the Black Talk Radio Network. Good to hear from you, Mr. Reed.
Hey, first thing I want to say is I can't stress enough the importance of this program in covering workplace racism. If it had existed and I was able to listen when I was working on some of these corporate plantations dominated by white people, I may have been able to make better decisions. So very important program, and I appreciate you, you know, putting it together. A couple of things there on the surveillance. On one of those jobs, I was on, I can't stress enough that that's accurate, that you are under surveillance at all time. There was a vice president. I had a job where I was a dye lab supervisor on third shift, but at this time I was still working on second shift. And I never talked to this vice president before, didn't really even know his name. And he just walked up to me in the lab one day and he was, "Oh, you're Scotty. I hear that you're very involved in politics." So I was like, you know, and I've heard on the cows, don't talk about politics on the job. Unfortunately, back then, I would talk about politics with my coworkers. And so apparently my political views got back to this man. Okay. Then in another incident involving this man where I witnessed him sexually harass a black female, and she called on me, or her attorney called on me, to give a deposition, which I gave a truthful deposition about what I saw. Next thing I know, I'm in a meeting with HR department, and this sexually confused white female tells me, "Scotty, we know everything you do on the computer. We know all the sites you visit, because during my off time, you know, it did have internet access. I would go to a black message board and exchange thoughts and views with other black people on this black message board." I know that's what she was alluding to. So if I had been in tune with workplace racism back then, I would have never accessed the internet on company computers to engage in personal stuff. Even though I was on my break, I would have, you know, just waited till I got home. So I do agree you are constantly under surveillance. On the issue of males and how we conduct ourselves, I would say if you're in a military environment, which is dominated by males, you do not want to show any weakness. You don't want to be belligerent. You want to be professional, but at the same time, you want to be assertive. They actually value people like that, because if you show weakness, you're going to be looked at as a weak person, and, you know, you're probably going to get picked on and things of that nature. So in that sort of environment, I think, you know, alpha males dominate. Again, I'm not saying be overbearing or belligerent or anything like that, but you don't want to back down. If somebody says something to you out of the way, then, you know, you got to correct that right then and there, or else it's going to, you know, we're going to get around, and then you're going to find yourself a target of other comments from other people. In terms of interacting with white females on that same job, once I started working third shift and became a supervisor, I only had one male, and all the rest were female. And the issue that I had, and I did handle that correctly, but was these white women making inappropriate sexual comments to me. One going as far as to say that she would like to would like me to impregnate her, and I don't even have to do anything for the child. That she just wanted a mixed baby, and she thinks I make beautiful babies. So around white females, you know, this whole Me Too thing. Look, it's been a number of jobs I've been on where white females have made sexually inappropriate comments to me on the job. This is all I wanted to share. Thank you again for this program.
Wow. Appreciate that, Mr. Reed. Again, founder, Black Talk Radio Network. Haven't we talked about that exactly, being on the job? And I've said, if you're going on the computer, what have you, I would not do anything. I've said specifically about that possessive adjective, my. It's not your computer. That's their computer, and I'm sure they check it regularly. Let's see what website you've been on and what sort of subversive activity and sites you're visiting and ideas you're talking about. Well, I keep all of that in mind, because if this was some years ago, who knows what type of technology they got now to keep, you know, tabs on all that. Knowing what you know now, if I can get one quick question in, Mr. Reed, knowing what you know now with the dangerous, unwanted sexual comments and what have you that were being made to you on the job, how would you handle that now, those sort of things happening? Oh, did we lose Mr. Reed? Are you still with us, Mr. Reed? He might have hung up. Dang, I was going to get my question in before he dashed on us. I know he has a full slate. I'll see if... I don't think I muted his line. I'll keep an eye out. If you did disconnect, Mr. Reed, I was going to try and get my question in. I don't know if you hit your mute button accidentally, but I'm just going to get my quick question in. I'll keep an eye out on the switchboard and see if we nab Mr. Reed back. But the surveillance point always, I think, needs to be repeated, because myself included, I think a lot of us, I just don't think we recognize how much and to the degree that we're being watched at all times. Extremely important. And we talked about that sexual harassment and people making comments in that recorder. That would be the big thing. Recorder those comments on record if you possibly can. And we talked about making sure you're not alone when you realize things are that dangerous as well. Super, super important. Other folks that we've not heard from, I'll keep an eye out for Mr. Reed, as I said. Other folks, if you dialed in, you have a hand up and we have not heard from you, if you have commentary you'd like to share, lines should be open. Proceed.
May I be heard?
Greetings, Red in Nevada.
Hello, thank you for taking my call. Hello, everyone. Doing right poorly. Sure, like a lot of us. But definitely appreciate the information about surveillance. And I know that I'm having to constantly focus on my behavior. I know I've been talking about it for the past couple of weeks about being around black females, but of course with white people, they love to even displace black people during the workplace or in the workplace. And so some of the black females that I was around who would always kind of like joke amongst each other, and I would kind of get a chuckle out of it as well. They end up getting moved again. And I knew that was going to happen, because there was an email sent out saying that they were, you know, talking too loud. So I'm like, okay, here it comes. So, but I always just still making sure that I'm not talking loud. But, and actually one time I thought I wasn't talking that loud, and I was talking to a non-white person, just about basically just, you know, some side conversation about what they had said, and they had cursed when they had said that specific thing. And I thought I was speaking low enough to where nobody heard me. And apparently the supervisor was walking up, and she was just so surprised that I had, you know, cursed. And, you know, but she wasn't mad or anything, but I just still not completely thinking that, you know, they're constantly watching and constantly listening, no matter, even if you're speaking barely above a whisper, they are, that's when they, you know, of course, focus in the most. They don't have to listen that you know, they don't have to listen that intently if you are basically yelling. So that was one thing about my supervisor at the plantation. Another thing was that she has been recently telling me that, you know, we're so much alike, you know, you work so hard and, you know, she recently told me that that people out here, they don't really have a good work ethic, but you do. And just basically speaking about me to upper management and about giving me more tasks to do. But of course, there was no mention of more nickels. So like, I'm not, in any type of rush to take on more responsibility if there's not an increase in pay, and really not even take on the additional responsibility. It's not a plantation that I, think that I would retire from. The story about the black female at the grocery store and about her trying to spell out her name phonetically, definitely something that I have a long history with, even like on many different name tags, just breaking down my name as much as possible. Still doesn't matter, but I can definitely understand, you know, what that female is going through. And the last thing, or actually one other thing, I noticed that like with me, with my code, I guess, at the workplace, I speak in a higher voice because they all know that I don't smile. I also I don't want to say that I have like a masculine walk, but I notice that I don't really like twist or what have you when I walk, which I was actually a non-white person had said something to me about it, almost as if I have like a more masculine walk. But I feel like that's kind of to try to not draw as much attention to myself as possible, because white women are already constantly making sure that I'm within like dress code and everything like that, while there are other older white women who don't wear things that they should be wearing or wearing things that they should not be wearing. But that's one of the things that I've kind of developed. I guess that was it. That was actually it. I'll mute my line. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Much obliged, Red. No surprises with the name thing. We've heard that pretty consistently from tons of black people, and the total lack of effort to correctly remember black people's names or pronounce their names correctly. The same thing when you're doing well on the job is so many black people, that major pattern. You could be doing exemplary work on the job. Somehow that doesn't get written down when it's promotion time or performance evaluation time. That doesn't get written down. And wow, you've done such remarkable work. We are going to give you a 10% raise. It doesn't happen like that. It just becomes you are doing spectacular work. We found about 5 other tasks that we would like to add on since you've been doing such great work. And so many of us have seen the great work that you're doing. We think you'll do great on these 5 extra tasks as well. And no increase in compensation, nothing. Just you get more work to do and maybe a pat on the back every now and then. And unfortunately, the pattern that a lot of folks have seen, a lot of victims have seen, you get that extra work, which takes more time. You don't get extra compensation. Then all of a sudden, now you got all this extra stuff to do, no extra compensation, and you're not doing quite as well as you were at the beginning. And then it's, oh man, what's wrong with you? Your performance is nosediving. I don't know. You were talking about getting that raise, or I don't know. You were talking about getting that promotion, but you haven't been doing as well on the job. Well, maybe we'll give you another 6 months to see if you can get those numbers up. Consistently, where it's even when you're doing a great job, it still doesn't end up benefiting you, certainly not from the paycheck perspective. If you have commentary, thoughts on what's been discussed thus far, or if you have your own situation that you would like to share, line should be open. Feel free.
Hey Gus, I'm sorry I hung up on you so quick. I was just going to listen offline, but I did hear your question, and again, you know, I would not have been discussing politics with anyone. I wouldn't even be playing NPR on the radio like I used to listen to political commentary. Back then, we didn't have these smartphones with access to the internet, so I was listening on a regular radio, but I wouldn't even done that back then. I'd have just saved everything for when I was off the job. Although it didn't cause me any problems, those interactions with those white females, it could have become a problem. And I felt like, and I've heard this mentioned on Workplace Racism hosted by the Cows, and that's keep a journal. I should have been keeping a journal. And every time, you know, Becky makes an inappropriate comment to me about having my baby and all this and that, I would have had it in my journal in case. Now, I would not have reported them for those comments, and I didn't report them because I would have been reporting it to a white woman who might have decided, oh, we're going to flip it on him. So, you know, I just usually scoffed at their comments and kept it moving. So that's what I would do differently. I would have kept a journal about everything on the job, which I did not back then. That's all. Thank you.
Much obliged, Mr. Reed. Much obliged. Those workplace journals, I've said that before, and I know some people, you know, they don't want to take the time to have to write it out. You don't have to, you know, be antiquated about it and get like a notebook from the store and a pen, although that certainly would work. Feel free. You can use the technology that they have now. You can do it on your phone. You know, if you have a mobile device or what have you, you can do it right there. And I've said consistently, it doesn't, you know, we're not talking about a thesis. This is not a dissertation. Generally, this is just for you. Take it seriously. But I mean, it's not like you got to sit down and write 500 words. You know, you can just a few sentences and make sure you get exactly what the person said. Date, time, the criticals, names, that sort of thing. If there were, you know, witnesses or what have you. But just that bit of information, taking 5-10 minutes to just write down when things happen that are significant, that are important, that you don't want to rely just on your memory to recall the details, because, you know, you might have to recount this 6 months down the line, a year down the line, who knows? Just jot it down. It can be hugely important. And I've also said consistently, just that act of writing can be helpful in you organizing your thinking so that you have a clear understanding yourself about what happened, what you think about this event, and, you know, how you want to resolve things if there needs to be a resolution. Other folks dialed in, if you have a hand up, line should be open. Feel free.
Can I be heard?
Greetings. Yes, sir.
Hello, everyone. I'm still learning. Next, I have two questions. I need some counter-racist suggestions as far as responses go. I work inside of a convenience store in a very, shall we say, very country. I'm in North Carolina, so I guess you can imagine, small town. So I have this one customer that comes in pretty regularly, and he likes to say really really shifty comments towards me. I think the most recent one he told me while he was leaving was stay out of trouble. Now, it's not nothing that I'm not used to, but I'm getting the last two times he came, he said that. And I was thinking about asking him if he's threatening me. Like, are you threatening me by telling me to stay out of trouble? But I feel like he could use that as some way to say that I'm somehow trying to flip it on him and I'm threatening him. So I haven't been to use that yet. Another recent thing that happened was I had two customers come in that drove in together. They both got items, but I've built up like a kind of racist thing where, like, if white customers like throw me money for their items, I throw it back. Like, I'm not gonna respect you and hand you your money, and you're gonna throw money at me on the counter. I'm gonna do the same thing to you. So, they both got their items. They end up getting gas. They go outside and they're like talking to each other. One gets in the truck and the other one's pumping gas. These are two white males. And they like look at me and they start mouthing to each other. Then one of them walked over to the back of my car and like looked at my license plate and then looked back to the other and mouthed something else. And they both like looked at me and like hit off. So I'm not, this was like, this wasn't too, it's been a few days, but I'm not sure what's like, what's really going on, what they got planned or whatnot. You never know, it could be a threat or it could be something they're trying to act on. But I've seen them recently, I've seen the day actually, and they act like nothing, was happening. But then again, like, these people are like foxes, they're very sly. So I just need any sort of suggestion that I can get from, like, from any of you would be great. Thank you.
Appreciate that. Caller in North Carolina, it's Mr. Reed's neck of the woods. With the first part of it, them, or I guess this one suspected racist coming in and saying, stay out of trouble, quote unquote, and then leaving. And I guess that's his habitual way of exiting, stay out of trouble, saying that to a black person. I've heard that from other whites in that same type of context. It's supposed to be like a friendly or joking way of greeting someone or leaving instead of saying bye, you know, stay out of trouble. I've heard that where even other black people who were not into codification or what have you thought that there was something incorrect about that and seemed to think that whites didn't say that if they were talking to a white person, they wouldn't tell them to stay out of trouble. That's one of those. I think it would depend on how you want to handle it. I think you said that as he's been saying it consistently, like you felt that there's something incorrect about it and have been motivated to say something. I'm a big advocate of the question, being able to respond to those type of things with a question. What sort of trouble do you think I might get in? Do I look like a troublemaker? Probably lots of different ways that you can handle that with a question. That almost that also might be one. I might ignore that one. It just depends. You said it's bothering you, getting to the point where you might want to say something. Hey, that may be what needs to happen. But just if it's somebody saying something, that sort of thing, that might be one that I just file away as, yeah, I think that's an act of racism. Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be worth my time and energy to say something to this person to get them to stop saying that. Is that going to extend this? Am I going to have to, you know, exert a lot of time and energy over something that I could just, yeah, act of racism, file that away as, you know, act number 5003 for this hour of the day. We all have to make judgments about when we want to, you know, speak up. The latter portion, it depends on obviously what happens, but that little more serious. If you got the impression that they were looking at your license, like maybe they're going to write, you know, this information down, or talked about surveillance before, you know, seeing how much information can we glean about this nigger from his license and then follow up. That one might be a bit more serious to if there's someone to report that to. If you want to write, you said you're seeing these folks. I think you said you'd seen these folks more than once. If you want to get their information in case, you know, something happens or what have you, that one I would take pretty seriously. Anything where you feel like it could be something potentially jeopardizing your safety, I would take that very, very seriously. In fact, get as much detail on these folks as you can, their vehicles, license, age, what they're wearing, how many times they come in, as much as you possibly can about them in case, you know, you need to action on that. Did other listeners have suggestions for it seemed like two different parts, the person, the one suspected racist who came in and the stay out of trouble, and then pair of white men kind of looking at your license and then looking back at you. I don't know if they're plotting something, but I mean, this is the system of white supremacy. Did other folks have suggestions on how they would deal with these kind of two incidents?
May I be heard?
Yes, ma'am. Red in Nevada.
So thank you for allowing me to share. I definitely agree with the suggestion about gathering as much information as you can. Also, I don't know if maybe the convenience store or the grocery store that you work at, if they maybe have surveillance cameras that you might be able to look at, maybe just to take a peek at their license plate and just jot it down just in case if they were to do something, because you never know with white people, if they have access to someone who can do like license plate searches and try to, you know, find your residence or what have you, at least you'll have something on them. I don't know if maybe you have any type of protection or like a I know like some stores, they might have like some type of like panic button or something that calls the police. If not, maybe just having some type of protection just in case if they were to approach you. Cause I, at least from my experience, it seems like those convenience stores, they're definitely a dangerous place. I'll mute my line. Thank you.
Appreciate that, Red in Nevada. Are there other folks who dialed in who have any suggestions on how you would deal with this? These customers coming in, we got one flagrant racism throwing the money. Or I guess with that, too, I don't know if they have a code, because that one, if you're working in any sort of retail where there's an exchange of money with a customer, that's, I mean, standard for eons. White's not wanting to put money in a black person's hands. And, oh, I don't want that nigger's fingers. That's been going on forever. Some places, they might have a code in terms of regardless of what the customer does, you always have to do money back in their hand. So I would watch the code, because I could see a racist, exactly as you said, trying to turn it back around and say that they're the victim, that they put the money down or it slipped out of their hand or whatever excuse that they'll give. And then they'll say, oh, this, you know, rude nigger threw, you know, my change back at me and it almost went off the counter and that sort of thing. So definitely, you know, if that's your code, if they don't put it in my hand, I don't do the same. Just make sure, I would encourage anyone, if you're working in that sort of situation, to make sure that the place that you work, they don't have a code that says that you always are required to put the money back in the customer's hands, because they're all about customer service. But any suggestions for these two situations, person that called in, any suggestions for folks? Any other listeners have suggestions? Folks still thinking about it? I'll double check and see if folks do not have additional suggestions now. Check back in a little later. But again, I would, any of those I would take very serious. If they do have surveillance cameras at the store where you work at, I would try and see if you have some images that have good pictures of these guys, and you can even put that in your personal record just in case. Hopefully nothing will come of it and, you know, they'll go about their racist business and, you know, leave you alone. There'll be no harm. But I would definitely want as much info. Take that as serious as you can. Be alert. Keep it, anything odd happens, your vehicle, something like that, all of that, I would be on super high alert until, you know, you feel reasonably comfortable about the situation.
Have you heard?
Yes, sir.
I came in just on the latter part of the conversation. I thought I heard something about money and something in the money in a customer's hand. Is that correct?
Right. The previous caller, black male, dialed in. He was asking for suggestions. He was saying that, I guess it was kind of two parts. So he had a suspected racist white man came in, was rude, didn't put the money in his hand. He was saying that his code is if patrons don't put the money in his hand, he does not reciprocate. He just puts it on the counter. That was one. And then he said that this first white man, he would, I guess he would leave. He comes in more than once. When he leaves, he'll say, stay out of trouble. And the person that called in was saying that he thought that that was an act of racism and is feeling like he wants to say something about it. The next time this white person comes in and says, stay out of trouble. That was one. He was asking suggestions on, you know, to say something or how to deal with that. And then the other component was these two whites were outside the store. I think it might have been this white guy who was saying stay out of trouble with additional white person. They were looking at the caller's vehicle, looking back at him, might have been looking like, you know, maybe we're going to concoct some sort of plan, you know, to deal with him later. That was kind of the appearance that it got. But he was asking for suggestions on dealing with that. Did you want to respond?
I don't have any suggestions. What piqued my interest was is I once went overseas to Europe, and as a custom in some countries, when paying them, they will not take money off the table because it is considered theft unless you actually put money in their hands. And I was actually told this by a person who was working in Europe, in Italy specifically, but this person was not from Italy. They were from Bangladesh and they were very dark skinned. So as a custom for that person, they don't accept money unless it's actually put in their hands. So I thought that was really interesting. And that sounds like a very productive piece of code to implement. So that's what was deemed my interest.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. And to hear this from a non-white person, no less. Other folks who dialed in, if you have a hand up, line should be open. If we have any, for sure. Other folks who dialed in, if you have a hand up, line should be open. If you have a comment.
Can I be heard?
Yes, ma'am.
Can I be heard?
Yes, ma'am.
I can hear you.
We can hear you. The female caller.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. We can hear you.
I guess Gus got kicked off the line.
Oh, wow. That's so crazy. I was saying, that's so crazy. Yes, ma'am. We can hear you. I was, I unmuted her line and then my line got that. Anyway, yes, ma'am. We can hear you.
I was just going to say that all the suggestions that you gave the gentleman to the suspect coming in and watching his I think that he should do some counter racist efforts by also documenting their license plates, taking pictures, noting the times that they come in. Like you said, I've been in situations where I've had with my recent workplace situation with the license plates where I took the pictures of them, of the man that was in the van. They definitely can run your information. They can take your license plates and run your license plates, and you never know what they're going to do. You should always have counter anything that they're trying to do to you. And as far as with people making little comments, just things like be careful. Like, and it was constantly being said to me, like, I suspect, make sure you be careful. You be careful. And it was like some type of underlying, like something behind that, like making me feel like I had to worry about my safety. So, like you said, because if anything dealing with your key, you need to really be mindful of that, be planned, and, use the backup, use surveillance if he has to record anything that he can do in regard to information with these suspects coming in, and they're doing this on a daily basis, you never know. So, and I'll mute my line.
Appreciate that. Did any of the folks listening, did anybody have, specific suggestion? Would you say anything about the white person saying stay out of trouble? Is that one where folks think it would be best in terms of minimizing problems, counter-racist perspective in terms of, what we ultimately want to do? Would you advise, yes, I'm going to say something about this white suspected race soldier saying stay out of trouble, or I'm just going to ignore. I'm just, I can file that away. Yes, I think it's an act of racism, but it might, this might not be one that I can get him to stop saying this. He'll just switch and say something else. It might not be worth it to say anything.
Can I be heard?
May I be heard?
Yikes. Let's see. Let's get the females. Okay, was that red in Nevada?
Yes, I'll be really quick and thank you. I do agree with asking questions. It's just that I was wondering, it seems like there's some feedback, but it seems like I would just, how would you appear when you ask a question? Because I know I've done it before and just asked a question, but I may have either had like a smile on my face or kind of had a chuckle. And so maybe if you do ask this question, like, okay, well, what type of trouble do you think I'm going to get in? Then I think that you appear to be more serious. Maybe that might stop the questioning altogether. So I feel like it might also be not just the questioning, but the delivery. I'll mute my line. Thank you.
Appreciate that point. I think the other female caller, I think she might have said she would go last. She wanted a little more time. If I missed her. If I didn't hear that correctly, my apologies. So if that's the case, retired firefighter.
Greetings.
Am I correct in saying that this place of business is a convenience store?
I believe you're correct.
Okay. First and foremost, at a convenience store, and I think another caller, previous caller, mentioned it. If I'm going to be an employee at a convenience store, I'm going to get a concealed carry permit, number one, and have it on me at all times while I'm at the job. Also, I would check with the owner on the performance of the cameras that's in the store. If not, check myself. I guess if he is an employee at the business, that he would know something about the cameras and it's how good they are. From that standpoint, I would not ask a question about the comment. I think that's something to be expected when you are in a store. You're going to get all kinds of crazy comments. I think it's almost the nature of that type of employment in itself. And for the most part, I wouldn't respond to it. Basically, I would take note of it, though, as far as that concerned. I would have my vehicle parked in a place where I can see my vehicle through those cameras. I'm pretty sure that, you know, most of the convenience stores have more than one camera, and it also looks at the parking lot. And I would have my car parked in that spot while I'm on duty at that place. And anything else, I'll comment on as I hear it. Thank you.
Appreciate that, retired firefighter. The other female caller who spoke up might have been Draftomania. Did you want to give your commentary or suggestions, rather?
Oh no, I was just saying that you know, I would just basically just do the same thing. Just take note of these individuals, take their license plates every time they say something. I really wouldn't even make a comment. You know, if they were to say something like that, be careful. I just not mute my line.
Appreciate that. Appreciate that. Did anyone any other suggestions for our worker here that's dealing with these rude, racist customers? Any other suggestions? Right on. If other folks think of any suggestions as we proceed, you can feel free to share. I definitely like the vehicle. Anybody, really, if you're working like a later shift where you know you're going to get off and it's going to be dark, I wouldn't care if you've been threatened or not. Definitely keep that in mind when you go to park your vehicle to make sure it's someplace visible that you can see it. Certainly, if there had been anything to make you uncomfortable, I would want to make sure I'm parked someplace where I'm visible. And if you escort, if that means calling or if that means telling people on the job so they can coordinate so that you can get an escort, someone to walk with you to your vehicle, all of that, male or female, I think all of that is sound. Do not minimize safety on the job. Matter of fact, I didn't play the audio, but the video, I posted it on Facebook with the event for this broadcast. They just had a report this week of a black male. And he made a video of it. The whites on his job, they made a fort that said whites only. And all the other terrorism that, you know, they typically do to black people. But I mean, if they can do that on company time, they got enough time to design a whole structure and then paint whites only on it. Like, man, come on. If they're willing to invest that type of time and energy to terrorize black people, absolutely take it super serious. Anytime you don't feel safe, you don't feel comfortable, you feel threatened in any way, shape, form,
Absolutely. Take all measures you deem necessary, and including concealed carry, especially if you're in a dangerous line of employment. Other folks dialed in, if you have a hand up, if you have your own situation that you want to discuss, or if you have suggestions, comments on what's been discussed thus far, proceed.
Have you heard?
Yes, sir.
Greetings, everyone. Greetings, Gus. I am a construction worker here. Called in a few times before, and actually, for the past 2 days, yesterday and today, I've had an ongoing situation over the past 2 days with the same individual. And it's very interesting for a few times as far as preparing for my day, just to kind of mentally prepare myself. Just so I could put my mindset in the mindset of expecting something, I would tell myself, well, let me see what is going to be new today to try to disrupt me. And I got into the routine of work because I take work very seriously, and I do actually like my job. And so I was caught off guard yesterday. We were installing a component to this piece of machinery, and usually it comes in one module. And when I say we, technically I was doing it. He was off doing something else. And it usually comes in one module, but this time it came in two parts. Now, this component needs to be installed according to code. There's a certain measurement from the ground in which it needs to be installed. But since this was in two different pieces, I wasn't sure of what the measurement for the second piece would be. So I inquired. So I asked him, I said, hey, where does this box go in reference to what it is that we're building? And he looked at me and he said, really? And I said, what are you referring to? He said, how long have you been doing this? I said, 3 years. He said, and you've never seen this put on? I said, I have when it's in one module, but this is different. And this is different from the last three projects that we installed together. So I just want some clarification on this. He says, are you lying to me? I said, no. He says, you've never, ever seen it. He says, how many people have you worked with before me? Oh, probably 7 or 8. And you've never, not one time. I said, this is about the 8th time you've asked me the same question. And my answer is still no. Now, he has this issue with being timely. A very supremacist mindset, because there's many different ways to actually do our job. And he says that the way he does his job is the fastest, most efficient way of doing it, which is not, because I've seen him work with other people and they say he is very, very slow. Actually, he's had his company truck taken away because he is very, very slow and not efficient enough to actually use company resources. So he has to use his own truck. So I say, now you've told me that you want to be very timely and you don't want to waste time. I said, but right now you're actually wasting time. You could just give me the answer, or we can continue playing this game. So he turns around, takes about 3 paces, and turns back around to me and says, you know what? It goes 6 feet above the floor. It's that simple. And he walks off and he goes to smoke a cigarette, which has already been established per his own words that he wastes 2 hours per week smoking cigarettes on the job. Now, mind you, this person is all about being timely and not wasting time. So I found myself being very angry internally. It actually felt like that I had just been in a fight, because I've had this conversation with him before and the union representative. And when we were in that meeting in which he was being reprimanded, he made it abundantly clear to everyone, oh, he's easy to push along with. You can always ask him questions. But this situation, this specific situation, was evident that you cannot ask him questions, because this is how he responds. He begins to gaslight you. That was yesterday. This morning, we proceed again to continue working on this module, or I do. And I'm preparing to mount this module the way he says it needs to be mounted. He gets on the cell phone. He calls another person who is in the same rank of position that he has. Now, mind you, the man that I work with has been doing this for over 20 years. The person he called has been doing this for 10 years.
and he has him on speakerphone. He doesn't know that I'm listening. And I overhear him ask this person, hey, where does this module go? Is this code? Is this how it's supposed to go? And so he turns around, he sees me there. He gets off the phone. I said, so what did he say? He said, oh, yeah, there's actually really no code to it. I said, so you weren't sure, and that's why you called him. He said, yeah. And it's interesting because I wasn't angry, and I think I wasn't angry because I was just watching a more complete picture of what the truth is, which is that this individual, like many of them, have been falling, tumbling, stumbling, getting lucky throughout life based upon being white, bottom line. To what degree he's willing to invest the shenanigans, tactics, jokes, and the rest in order to make sure that, and it's a very hard thing to deal with because this person is also in the position and of rank to influence people who can get me fired or to get me fired. And so it's a really hard thing to deal with psychologically. I'm glad that I was able to see it. Luckily, I don't have to work with this individual any longer. I have been relocated to a different site. But he was very, very, very humble after he overheard me listening to that conversation, which he had to call someone who has been in the trade half his time in order to ask him about specifically where this piece of material goes. But I just wanted to share that with the listeners, let them know that it's intentional. This stuff is intentional. The mistreatment is always intentional. So try not to second guess yourself about whether you're certain whether this person is doing this on purpose or whether you picked up something wrong. It just reminded me that my code about friends at work, I do not have any. And it also reminded me to make sure that I prepare myself psychologically before I go into work to expect anything that I can think of and anything that I cannot think of to come my way for that day. And then I'll meet my wife.
Spectacular. Spectacular. He said prepare himself mentally for anything that you could think of that day and anything that you could not think of. Make lots of room for the imagination of the white supremacists. I think the first portion of which I guess this is what happened yesterday when you went to ask a question, just get accurate information. I'm not a construction worker. I'm ignorant about everything, childbirth, construction, white supremacy, all of it. Now, the little bit that I do think I know is measure twice, cut once. Lots of emphasis on let's do it accurately so that we don't have to go and do this. And then, oh, we messed this up, or we forgot to put a screw here. Now we got to go tear it down and do it all over again. And we've wasted material. That's what I thought. Let's make sure we do it correct the first time so that we're not wasting time and resources. Maybe I'm ignorant. He goes to ask to get
better. Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's what I thought. I'm still ignorant. He goes to do that. Get correct information. Let's not waste time or material so we can do it right one time. And it's what? You don't know this? How long have you done all this wasting time? I'm of the opinion whites do this sort of thing deliberately just to upset us. I think these type of chimp out. I get to mention my favorite race soldier website, Chimp Out. They do these sort of things just so that we can get angry. What am I saying? I'm saying if you had been white or if a white person had come to ask him that question, we could have got done with this in 30 seconds. How do you need to do this? Put this over there. Oh, OK. We just go on throughout the day. It's not 5 hours of, oh, my God, you've never done this. Oh, my God. Did you go to school? Can you read? Oh, my Lord and Jesus. What is all of, and all of this, again, exactly as you said, just to undermine you so that I can't believe I don't know this. How stupid am I? Or so that you get upset. Regardless, all of this is just about racist amusement. And I, exactly as you said, I think when we understand, that's what this is. I'm not going to get upset. I'm not going to allow this race soldier to upset me or to curse, get me cursing and riled up and yelling. This is when I talk about breathing, when you can recognize like, oh, he's doing this deliberately to get me upset. Let me make sure I do some breathing. And you can do exactly what you did. You just answer the questions and get back to the information that I need so that I can do my job. No, sir, I've not done this before. I've worked here for 3 years. No, I've never done this before. I'd love to get the job done now. If you tell me the information, I can get this done promptly. Beautiful. And then the second day, the total aspect of white supremacy, you probably have lots of individuals classified as white who are ignorant about how to install this module or lots of other things on the job. Doesn't matter in the system of white supremacy. They can be ignorant about lots of things. However, they are not ignorant about how to dominate, abuse, and mistreat Negroes. That's the one thing they are never, ever allowed to be ignorant about. All that other stuff, oh yeah, messed up the whole blueprint. Didn't even read it, man. I was hanging out thinking of what my nigger jokes were going to be for the afternoon. But that specifically, when they are found out that they are a little incompetent, a little lacking in their knowledge, and that gets found out in front of another black person, oh, man, you talk about wounded pride. There's nothing like the wounded pride of a race soldier when, oh, I've been embarrassed in front of the niggers. He heard I'm ignorant. I don't know that. We've had tons of people who've called in over the years talking about how whites have just been, oh, ruined their day to be embarrassed like that in front of a nigra. And again, if anything, I would just take that as, oh, this person is feeling wounded. They might feel a need to retaliate. That could mean anything. Nigger jokes, or they're planning something, plotting, scheming for tomorrow, whatever. I'm glad you said you won't have to work with this guy anymore, but not surprising at all if they feel a need to retaliate just to show you, hey, I might be ignorant. You might have caught me. I might have made a mistake that one time, but you're still a nigger. I'm still in charge. Great job, sir. Just stay codified. Keep major. One thing I emphasize all the time, just making sure that we keep our composure. These sorts of things are going to happen. This is what racists live for. Keeping our composure has got to be a vital, really the most important aspect of counter-racism codes that relates on the job. Spectacular. Thank you so much for sharing, sir. Did we have any folks, if you either had comments, if we got folks who haven't shared at all, or if we have folks who, if you have comments on what's been shared, what our construction worker just shared with us, or any of the other callers, line should be open. Feel free.
Hi, Gus.
Yes, ma'am.
Hello. Oh, sorry. Hi, it's B from Toronto, Canada. How are you?
Greetings to the six. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you for asking. And greetings to your callers and listeners as well. Unfortunately, I don't have a comment at this time of the last caller. I've just recently got on. And however, I do have something to share, if that's okay.
Oh, proceed.
Oh, thank you. Okay, so I have three things that occurred. The first is, on my way to work today, because I take transit, I had to, where I go, I have to do a crossing across the road. So I typically what I do is I press the signal, it activates the light, the signal, pedestrians ready for crossing, and then I cross the street to the other side to get to the school. And the crossing guard was there, and he was at least a good, I'd say about 5 feet away from me, behind me. So I went to go and press the signal that I typically do, and all of a sudden he comes and he taps me on my left arm. And I turn and I go, "Why did you touch me?" And he goes, "Oh, well, you're preventing me from doing my job." I'm like, "How?" I said, "Are you the only person that's allowed to press this signal to activate?" And he goes, "No." I said, "Well, then you have no reason to touch me at all." So then he started becoming more arrogant. And I remembered one of the things that you've repeated from time to time, which is terms are important, words are important. So what I did was I was doing a review, just to backtrack. I was doing a review of different terms that I might want to use should something like this occur. And it occurred. So I told him, don't touch me. And I said, you know, molesting adults and children is not appropriate in any event, especially even if they're just trying to cross the street. And he took a step back. I used the dated definition, which is molest, to pester or harass someone, typically in an aggressive or persistent manner. Because this person who presented as white, I don't know if he would identify as such, but he presented as white, felt that he could just come in and touch my person without my consent, and I wasn't having that. So I started using those terms, and he started backing off. So he had to redirect his aggression somewhere, but it wasn't going to be with me anymore, especially since there were other women and children that were coming closer to the crosswalk. So that was the first part. The second part was, earlier in the week, I had to accompany a client for a school trip. And just before going on the school trip, we were about to enter onto the bus. I noticed that the driver was standing outside of the bus. The bus door was open. There were already some students and staff and parent volunteers that were inside. But the driver wasn't sitting inside, and I could hear the engine running. So as the client and I were just close enough to the bus to just about to board, the bus started rolling back because the way that the driver had parked it was, it's on a slope, and the driver is literally outside, and the bus is rolling back, and the bus nearly hits into an SUV as it was rolling back, and the bus driver jumps onto the bus and activates the brake just in time to stop the bus. So the teacher was there at the time. So I didn't hear anything further about it. So I followed up with the teacher and I asked, you know, has there been any updates as to why the driver wasn't on the bus? Like, this could have caused, you know, injury or death. Like, you know, what do you plan on doing about this? And then she said, oh, you just gave me a great idea. I should maybe just, you know, make a complaint to the school bus company. And I said, oh, okay. I'm thinking that, you know, it's a no-brainer. Yes, you should lodge a complaint because, you know, it was negligent and people could have been killed or hurt, especially students from the school, or, well, anybody. So, and then it just, you know, came to me, oh, yes, we're in the system of white supremacy. What it means to be right might mean also whites protecting whites, even, you know, if they cause harm or death. So that explained it for that one. And then the third one that occurred was, again, just reinforcing knowing your policy and procedures again. At work, there was one of the school board workers that was trying to hand me peanuts, a bag of peanuts. And it's already widely known on school property, you cannot have peanuts because it's a health risk, a health and safety risk, if some are allergic. Students and teachers are allergic to it, or some of them may be allergic to peanuts. So immediately, before she could even hand it over to me, I said, you know, I cannot accept them. I don't know why you're handing them to me, but you guys need to do what you need to do with those, because I'm not going to be responsible for it. So I stopped her in her tracks, because I know that if it was passed over to me, she could have easily turned around and said that I was the one that carried in the peanuts into the school, which would have been a health and safety violation. So again, it's just important to know your policies and procedures. And that's about it for that time. I hope I was clear, and thanks for listening.
Wow. Drake would be proud. Thank you so much for sharing.
George Washington Carver is rolling over in his grave as we speak. That policy and procedure, I think that might have been the first time policy and procedure has been referenced on this broadcast today. Extremely important just to be thinking in exactly what you said. I don't think that that is absurd or paranoid at all. To me, that is very, very realistic in terms of some white person, race soldier coming in. Oh, yeah. Here you go, B. Bag of peanuts. Feel free. And then as soon as you take, oh, my goodness, she brought in a bag of peanuts. She's trying to kill all of our students. What's going on? It's right here in the policy and procedure. We've talked about that before as well. Just knowing policy and procedure, because you will have racists. Sometimes that's exactly what they do. They will come up and recommend or encourage you to do something that they know is a total violation of policy and procedure. And that was the plan they had from the beginning, to then follow up and be the first one to go in and snitch you out. Oh, yeah, violated it right there. It's on page 15, section 9. Paragraph 3, not supposed to. Anyway, with the first one, your transit, we talked about, or I've talked about that for years, saying that, the commute to and from work, that's a major aspect of workplace racism. Phenomenal. Words are extraordinarily important, and I am a huge advocate of employing the word molest when there's some sort of unwanted touching or violation of your personal boundary, just because of the sexual connotation of the word as well. Weighty terms, using that term molest as opposed to stop touching me, or, you know, stop molesting me. Much weightier term in dealing with someone, and you want to get this resolved immediately and conveying that you are serious. Allison Manswell talked about that at the beginning of the program, using your words, your voice, to convey the seriousness, the magnitude of your serious, phenomenal. And I think you said exact, as soon as you use the word molest, whoa, what is this, Nick, accusing me of molesting her out in the, exactly, back up off of me, get your hands off of me, no molesting niggers in public these day and ages, and let me cross the street. And great job asking questions, talk about that all the time as well, making sure we're asking, are you the only person that's allowed to press the button for the signal? No, oh, okay then. It's no need to you to have your hands on me. Spectacular job. Keep that in mind for the commute to and from work as well. That is a part of workplace racism. And we unfortunately have had folks who have had to report about being mistreated, even in that aspect of the job. Did other folks who dialed in, the number again, 641-715-3640. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Any folks who dialed in, if you have a hand up, if you have commentary you would like to share, suggestions on what's been shared thus far, if you have your own situation, line should be open. Proceed.
Can I be heard?
Yes, ma'am. Greetings, software developer, Wisconsin.
Yes, hello, Gus. Hello, all the callers and listeners. So, a few things. One, the construction worker, when he spoke about his situation with the man, the white race soldier that he was working with, it reminded me of a situation that I had. So I was in this meeting. We have these meetings every 3 weeks to discuss work that we're doing. I would do what's called agile development at my job, where you do work for a specific number of weeks, and then you come together and you decide what work you'll do for the next allotted time period. So we're in this meeting, and he's explaining that a task that we did in the previous time period, it needed to be, well, he didn't say it needed to be adjusted, but there was a new task that we needed to do. And unfortunately, the last task that we did not cover all the, I guess, contingencies that it needed to in order for this new task to work. And so I mentioned that, and I said, well, you know, we'll have to do certain things because we didn't do them in this last sprint, we call it a sprint. And this white male, this architect, starts yelling
gets really loud and says, I'm sorry, okay? I didn't think about it. I have a lot on my plate. And he just goes off, and I just look at him, and I'm like, okay, well, we still need to get this done, you know, in a very calm voice. And he just sort of sat down and was silent for the rest of the meeting. But that reminded me of that. They don't really like it when we point out something that they may have missed, point out, you know, some sort of inadequacy, or point out some incompetence. And that wasn't actually my goal for that. But, yeah, that's what happened there. Last week, I think, there's a gentleman that works at my job who used to work in Milwaukee, and now he's moved to North Carolina, and he's a white male. And he got to say, you know, I'm moving to North Carolina, so I want to work remotely. And, of course, they let him do it. You know, they wouldn't let one of us do it, but they let him do it. But this white male has always given me constructive information. He will oftentimes give me constructive information without asking. So he's very useful to me. So he came back into town, and he wanted to have a team lunch. I'm not on his team, but he invited me to the lunch. I thought it would be prudent to go because he invited his. We were on a team prior to the teams that we're on now. He invited all of his old team members as well. So I thought it would be prudent to go, and there was another non-white male, Filipino male, who was also invited, who I figured was going to go as well. So I went, and the person who was sexually harassing me, my old boss, also went to the lunch. And so this white male who lives in North Carolina and I were chatting outside of the restaurant about work and everything else, and the sexual terrorist was parked right beside my car. So we were all in the same area. And the sexual terrorist is just looking in my car, you know, surveillance, of course, looking for whatever he could find. Then he gets into his car. He's got this big Range Rover. And he gets into his car, and all of a sudden I hear the white male from North Carolina say, "Watch out." And he's backing up his Range Rover almost to hit me, right? So I move out of the way. And then as I move out of the way, he then proceeds to drive forward a little bit, put his Range Rover in reverse, and then back up towards me again. You know, and that time it seemed very personal. Maybe the first time I would have excused, but the second time it was unnecessary. And it seemed like he was trying to hit me for some reason. I don't know. You never know what these race soldiers are. They're crazy. So, yeah, that was that situation. Also, I did have a situation yesterday in which there was an issue that was going on with one of our projects. And I was trying to explain it, and my current manager kept on, you know, saying, well, I don't know, you know, I want some more clarification. And so finally I said, well, I don't know. You can ask Justin, who is the architect. And so now I have a solid codified response. Anytime my manager keeps on asking me about projects, I'm just going to say, I don't know. Ask Justin and see how that works out, because it was really irritating. You know, it's like, you don't know anything, Negris. Don't say anything, you know. And, of course, Justin verified and validated everything that I said, but he can just get the middleman and go to Justin. That's fine with me. In terms of surveillance, just one thing. I would, you know, everything is connected nowadays. If you use, like, Google Chrome on your work computer as a browser, I would advise not being logged in to your Google account, because that could be another way in which they can track some things, even if you're not going to websites or going to certain URLs on your work computer. They do have the history, and you do have your history of where you've gone in Google Chrome as long as you're logged in to that. So I would definitely say that's something that we can do as well. Make sure that you are not logged in with any personal accounts. I can use YouTube on my work computer. I don't, but that would be another way that they could see whatever you're watching. Because even if you're just listening to music on YouTube while you're at work, if you're logged into your YouTube account, if you're logged into your Google account, you're logged into your YouTube account, you know, then they can see, oh, you've been listening to the cows. So, yeah, I will watch that as well. And that's all I have. I'll mute my line. Thanks.
Appreciate
that. Can I be heard?
Mr. Steele?
Yeah, I'm really appreciating a lot of the discussion that's being centered around monitoring that goes on at the workplace. You know, as I time progresses, I'm learning that there are more and more people that actually listen to the cows. And I just wanted to repeat a suggestion that I had some time ago regarding using the internet on your job. If you are operating from a computer, invest in a screen protector or rather, a screen protector that limits the visibility at different angles. I think they're called privacy screens. You can invest in those for your main computer monitor and for your smartphone. And then also, do not surf the internet at all. Don't even go to YouTube on your company computer, on your company internet. Do it only through your phone. And if your company does not have a cell phone access, like you're in a building that, you know, limits your cell phone access, and they force you to register your phone, don't download any sort of files that they have you put on your phone that allow them to remotely access your phone. That's something that they tried to convince us if we wanted to use the faster company internet, we had to sign up or we had to download this piece of software, this permission on our phones that would allow them to remotely wipe it. And, you know, I just didn't participate. I just paid for, you know, extra unlimited internet service, and I surfed from there. So don't, if you can avoid using the company internet, please do it. And also, if they have something where you have to register to use the internet, don't do that. And if they have open, you know, free registration for your phones or something like that, do not name your phone, you know, this is Ken Steele's phone, or this is, you know, Gus T. Renegade's phone. Use a generic term for your iPhone so that they can't really pin your phone to a specific person. And even when you're using the company's internet, go ahead and use the incognito function on your browser simply to avoid the extra monitoring. Also, your IT department may say that they're not monitoring you, and they'll say that they're only looking for relevant stuff, because I've asked various IT professionals, hey, do you have access to this stuff, and are you looking? And they'll say, yes, we have access to it, but no, we're not looking. Keep in mind that even if they're not looking, they're taking a record. So, you know, don't be convinced when they say, oh, you'll be fine. You're not. If there's an issue that comes up, they'll quickly refer to their record. So do your best to avoid using any sort of company resources to access the internet. But also, you know, access the internet at your leisure and use as much time on the internet as possible if you can avoid, you know, contributing to the racist machine that they have you doing at your job. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
Can I speak to that real quick?
I'm hearing an echo. If maybe no speakerphone, that would be helpful. No speakerphone. Oh, I don't want. Much obliged. Just real quick before I get, yes, both of you will nab both of you. I just wanted to say really quick, Mr. Reed wrote in a suggestion, the convenience store worker, the first component of what he shared, he said, the race soldier came in and, you know, said, stay out of trouble. That was his, parting comment. Mr. Reed said, I would not say anything. And if I did, it would be, make sure you stay out of trouble too. I don't think it's worth it to confront a racist suspect about suspected racism that isn't blatantly racist. Like the comment, him saying stay out of trouble, that might be something. So, what are you talking about? That's not racist. I say that, you know, all the time. That's common. People say that. And I totally could see that if you try and report that or say, yeah, I thought he was trying to be rude or slick or what have you. Easily, tons of white people think, like, what are you talking about? That's not racist. You're just making things up and you know, doing a poor job at customer service. The folks who spoke up, I think we heard Ivy, and was that our software developer? Were you going to respond to Mr. Steele?
I'm going after the software developer.
Go ahead, Ivy.
Okay, thank you. I was just going to say that I was going to say exactly what Mr. Reed said. First of all, greetings, Gus, and greetings to all the callers and listeners on the line. I was actually the one who was saying I'll go last, and I did something wrong. I hit a wrong button or something and got muted and a bunch of things. But I was going to say for the person who where they're saying stay out of trouble, I was going to say the same thing, just say, you know, you too. However, I think that the questions, Gus, that you suggested about, you know, what kind of trouble can I get in, I think, you know, that's great too. So, you know, you can employ that, you can employ silence. And I think that, you know, just saying, you know, when they say stay out of trouble, saying you too could also stop them from saying that. And I wanted to ask you, Gus, did he say that he is actually an employee at the place where it's customers that are putting money on the counter versus in his hand?
Right. And I think he said his code was that if they do that, he doesn't put the money back in their hand. He just puts it on the table.
I think, well, as far as my advice, I think that given that he is the employee versus the customer, he should always put it in their hand regardless, because they could always employ this, you know, customer is always right, and especially if you're black or non-white, you know, they're looking for any excuse to fire you. So I think that, you know, that you should just do it that way. And I understand that that's irritating, because I experienced that at, you know, different places, really just this one place. I don't work there. I'm the customer there. And I switch back and forth on whether or not, you know, with this race soldier that I should, you know, put the money in his hand or not when he does that. But I do kind of have that option, I think, a little more than a person who is an employee someplace. And I think that, you know, do everything you can to keep your job. And I just think that, you know, that makes you like the bigger person and more professional, and that it could possibly really go a long way, that you kind of go the extra mile even when other people are petty and racist and just disasters. And I'll mute my line. Thanks, Codify Software Developer.
Much obliged, Ivy. Software Developer, Wisconsin.
Oh, thank you, Gus. And no problem, Ivy. So yeah, I think that those are awesome suggestions from Mr. Steele, as always. Sometimes, though, I think you do have to work jobs in which using the internet is not only a part of the job, it's expected. So there are certain sites that we'll go to on the internet, primarily Microsoft Developers Network or Stack Overflow, which are two developer websites. And those are pretty much the only ones that I'll go to. And I think that if you have to use the internet, or if the internet is a useful tool in using in doing your job, I think that you should have a code around that. No recreational browsing whatsoever on company computers, on company internet, because they do watch. I've had a lot of surveillance in the past 3 weeks, or increased surveillance in the past 3 weeks, so I do know that they are watching. But yes, you should have a code regarding your internet use if you do have to use the internet. I know a lot of people have intranet at work, where you're expected to go and get useful information. But then that, you should just have a code. I'm only going to use the internet for work-related purposes.
And otherwise, I can use my phone. I can use any sort of tablet that I have and make sure that that is always locked. Make sure that no one can see what you're listening to or what you're reading on those devices. And thanks so much. I'll mute my line.
Context of white supremacy. If you have commentary, observations, certainly if you having any difficulties, problems in the workplace environment and you would like codified suggestions, the number 641-715-3640. The code 564-943-#. Press *61 if you would like to participate. And just to make sure I do not forget the first portion of what our software developer in Wisconsin, where she was sharing about a white person on her job, where she pointed out an error and he got all upset and, oh my gosh, I just couldn't. Again, staying composed, even when they are the ones who are not composed and they're losing it and cursing and everything else. Stay calm. Stay composed. That always works out in your favor. I think Emmy, she talks all the time about our nonverbal communication so that our face is neutral and calm. You can breathe. I cannot emphasize enough breathing, just taking deep breaths. Listen to your breathing. Pay attention to your breathing. If you notice, oh, I'm getting a little nervous, getting a little excited, take some deep breaths, calm myself down, stay codified. Composure is number one. And then I get right back. Questions, not making statements. Questions, what it is I'm trying to accomplish without creating new problems. That's the way you want to handle every situation. Just because whites get upset, emotional, trashy, tacky, terroristic, we do not want to follow suit. That is not going to benefit us in the workplace or anywhere else in the system of racism. Other folks dialed in, if you either have suggestions on what's been discussed thus far, if you have your own situation that you would like to share, line should be open. Proceed.
Hi, Gus. Could I add something else?
Be in the six. Yes, ma'am.
Hi. Are you hearing feedback?
Not presently. You're good.
Okay, thank you. Listening to a couple of the respondents just now, I think I got the gist of the gentleman who's the construction worker that an employee had told him not to get in trouble. Is that correct?
Well, that was a convenience store worker. The construction worker, he had asked information about how to install a particular component, and the suspected racist made a big to-do and, what, you don't know how to install this? How long have you been working here? Do you know how to read? And blah, 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 blah. And then finally they told him. And then the next day, the same white man, he was incompetent about a certain piece of work, and the non-white person, the construction worker, overheard this and inquired that, oh, you had to call to check because you didn't know this bit of information. And he said, yeah, I didn't know that. And he said the white person seemed ashamed that they were found out to be ignorant about some component of the job in front of the black person. That was the construction worker.
Yeah. Thank you so much for clarifying. Unfortunately, this is one of their tactics that they often do. They like to, I call it the great imitation show or the great show that they put on display. This is in reference to the gentleman in construction that they like to make it seem as if or the whites on the job, they like to make it seem, not just in construction, but in other industries, as if they're more competent than they really are. What I also have found too, is that they really do not like it when you tell them a piece of information and it shows that
they were inaccurate around that. So, you know, just as you said, Gus, you know, they do take offense to Black people or non-white people correcting them. But, you know, it's something that they got to deal with. unfortunately, they turn around and they do end up retaliating. So it's, again, just making sure that, you know, you do what you got to do on the job, which is to follow your, like, follow the role of the job, the role and responsibilities of the job, and do the best possible, and whenever possible, ask questions, and not to put it in too much stock into that, but definitely monitor. For the convenience, the gentleman who, or a gentleman a gentle lady that is in the convenience store, sorry. Hello?
Oh, yes, ma'am. It was a male caller at the convenience store.
Oh, thank you. Yes, the gentleman in the convenience store, just to also monitor, because that could also come across as a threat as well. Was it stay out of trouble, something like that?
Right.
I believe.
Right.
Yes. So that could also come out as a threat. I know that when I used to work at a credit union several years ago, I've worn many hats. I remember the branch manager telling me, "All eyes on you," which was really interesting. And it sounded pretty out of place, but it came to be that it was actually a threat, an indication that they're doing some kind of retaliation or some kind of abuse of some kind. So, you know, not to be paranoid, but to when something like that comes across, you can also take it as a threat too. And yes, as other callers have responded, and you know, the way that the gentleman had responded was, you know, if it was you too, same for you, you know, then that sometimes will stop it. Or, you know, as you've mentioned, Gus, asking more questions, sometimes that will stop it. But register it, like I would register it as a threat. But who knows? Maybe I'm over paranoid. I hope not, but... thanks for listening.
Much obliged. Does not seem paranoid to me at all. Was there another caller who spoke up who wanted to share? Oh, okay.
Here. Yes, can I be heard?
Oh, yes, sir. Caller in Florida. Good to hear from you.
Thank you very much, sir. Greetings to Gus, the host, the listeners and callers. I have made another discovery on the classification list, and it's two similarities. One says African American, and there's one beneath that says Afro-American. So, like, I'm gonna jot that down too. That'll be the second question I'm going to ask, along with white, black, and black, white. And another thing to mention about the marriage license is that they're having a lot of the same sex ceremonies, like in our county, because a lot of the other counties, they're like staunchly against it. And you know, I'm thinking of Dr. Wilson, the genetic annihilation, I think, has a lot to do with this. And I believe Duval County, Jacksonville, apparently from the white person, and I've heard of this more than one time too, they closed the chapel in which I think they do the marriage ceremonies at their courthouse. So I believe what they do is they have the couples come in and they will give them the actual record, the marriage record or license. But they said like a big no-no to the ceremony portion of it, because they'll get the license, you know, they'll apply, and then they'll come in for another day if they want to do a ceremony. So that's the first thing I wanted to share. The second part was like that thing about the black male, I guess demeanor, or I don't know, like what term was used, how must the black male conduct himself? I know I've definitely been examined in certain ways for that. Like about 4 or 5 years ago, I used to do the domestic violence like copy clerk thing, and I would go out into the hall, so I would have to project my voice. And I remember like one of the bailiffs, he was like, man, like how come your voice just sounds like that when you're announcing the female, you know, the female names? And I had no idea what he was talking about. Like he was just it was just something just like overly sexual about that. Like, how is he paying attention to my voice like that? So yeah, you know, why are you sounding like that when you're pronouncing the female's voice? So this was the same guy I think I shared before, and he said his adopted son was using the word nigger at school. He tried to act like he didn't know like why he was doing this. And he could have been lying too about him being adopted. That was probably biological. Number three is, like, I had, like, and the thing about the surveillance, like, I was coming back from the post office one day. This was about, like, a couple of months ago. And I know they have cameras, like, in the back door area. And, you know, I've been doing this job for a while, like, years or whatever. And, like, I'll put my cell phone in my pocket. So, you know, I go into the door, and the bailiff says, oh, you know, it's just a cell phone. Now, if you can think of this in your head, like you come in there through a door and he says, oh, well, you know, it's just his phone, you know, implying that, you know, I had some kind of blunt object, or even ultimately worse, like a gun of some sort. So, you know, I just went through the detector or whatever. And, you know, it just happened so fast, like I forgot to share it. Well, I think that was an act of racism, because even though they see me come through this door every day, it still, you know, it still surfaced, came to the surface that you still saw me as a criminal threat in some sort. Number four is, like, we have, like, a cleaning crew. That's what I call, like, the people who do the maintenance. And I think it's definitely a lot of contempt shown for people who do those sorts of jobs, and primarily these seem to be black people. And the group of cleaning employees, they seem to rotate, and they change them out every couple of months. And apparently they haven't been, like, vacuuming, like, all throughout the first floor. So what they've done is they made out these signs and they printed them from the computer saying, please vacuum the floor. You know, so this morning, apparently, they didn't do it. And the white woman, the white woman, she says, man, I don't know if I'm going to have to make this sign in another language or in Spanish or something. And I'm thinking in my head, like, man, that was very conscious for her to say that. Like, she was really thinking, you know, like, and it didn't seem to suppress the racist tendency. Like that came out. But I don't think anybody else read that as white supremacy, of course, because she's implying that, hey, this, you know, this has to be somebody who's not a white person. Like, they're just not getting it. I have to put it in one of their languages. Okay, like, there's got to be somebody who just illiterate or whatever, you know. And my last one is another part of that meeting from a couple of weeks ago. Like, after she said, she asked me how many years I've been there. Like, later on in that meeting, she made a comment about dress code. And, like, 98% of the workplace is female. Okay, so now she's standing up there, and on Fridays, we have what's called casual attire Fridays, you know, wear jeans and a t-shirt, polo or whatever. And this person handles, like, evidence. She, you know, goes around, picks up boxes. So she's wearing the attire for her to facilitate doing that type of job. And I think she calculated this to insult me, because she's not going to exemplify what's incorrect dress code practice by pointing out a female, in my opinion. She was talking about, hey, you just don't want to be on break, and you just got to be able to respect yourself. You got to respect the company. Okay, so what I mean by that is, look over here to such and such. And she is pointing out the white guy in a room full of females, okay, and he has on a tie, a shirt, and, you know, like a jacket, like a suit. Now, isn't that interesting that you use the guy? But on the actual policy, it's about spaghetti straps and female-related clothing. It's always been about that. When it's the guy, we got to just wear polo shirt and slacks, pretty much. It's not really much in detail. And I was wearing jeans and a t-shirt, and my job isn't really in no courtroom or nothing anymore. So I think that was another act of masterful racism toward me, and saying that, I guess, I may not have respect for myself, I guess, or something of that nature, because of the type of clothes that I'm wearing, which didn't really make any sense. So she said, just make sure you're respecting yourself by what you wear. And my last one is, the judge bought me a Starbucks gift card. This is the second time she's done it. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
She bought him a Starbucks gift. Thomas in New York would say, you should have told him, I'm boycotting Starbucks forever. I'm boycotting them because they've been terrorizing black people. And I didn't participate in the conversation on race. I don't care about their training. And I'm not taking a gift card. Joking, of course. Everyone loves Starbucks. We could all go to the courthouse and learn. I'd go back to the racial classification, start there. I would be willing to wager a hefty sum when they go, if they provide any clarification at all. That could be one where they plead ignorance. Oh, I don't know what the difference between African-American, Afro-American. If I had to wager, if they give an explanation, they're going to blame that one on black people and say, well, you know, some black people, they spell it A-F-R-O, and some people, they spell the whole thing out, African-American, and we just try and accommodate. We are customer friendly. We try to accommodate everyone. We've had some people that say that there's a real difference between the two. And I'm not a black person here myself, so I don't know. I'm just trying to respect and accommodate all the different classifications that we have. I would be willing to wager a hefty sum. It's going to be something close to that, not something where, oh, we decided, we exerted some sort of agency here and made this decision. And this is what the difference between the two is. This is how you know we got someone who's an African-American, and this is someone who is an Afro-American. And frankly, this is the category that you are in. I do not expect that at all. But if you get an update on that one, please let us know the difference, Afro-American, African-American, and then we'll all know which category we're supposed to be in. The white dude who, I guess this was the one who said, you said had made the comment about the way that your voice sounded when pronouncing, I guess, the females' names or whatever you were having to do to call them. Wow. I can only say again, surveillance. And that voice thing is very significant, I think, specifically with black males. If you have a deeper voice, if you have a heavier voice, if you are loud, all of the above, that can be a big thing. That registry and feeling some sort of feeling like, oh my goodness, this super manly voice around here talking to these white women or even the non-white females, that is not acceptable. Exactly as Allison Manswell said, take that few octaves if you're going to be around here employed. The dress situation, I've seen that get tacky and racist so fast with casual Friday or any sort of implementation of a dress code on the job. A lot of times that's one I've talked before where they have rules and regulations that are presented in a vague manner so that whites then they can go and enforce it how they want to. I think your situation where she picks out the white man in a tie to say this is someone who respects themselves the way that they dress on the job, not coming in here all tacky like a slob in a t-shirt and jeans. Standard operating procedure. And I'm just, that's like, I personally have gone through that on jobs where either they did not have a dress code at all or they changed it for whatever reason. And then it was like it was something directly at black people. And sometimes even at me specifically with that same sort of standard where you had whites coming in, white person on your job coming in wearing the same outfit every day. And they were doing all kinds of crazy things. Nothing gets directed at them, just some way to make lewd comments to black people or some sort of accusation that there's something wrong with the way that you are dressed to come, that you're not professional, that you are not showing self-respect with the way that you're coming in. I've seen that consistently. I don't know if other people have experienced that on jobs where they have a dress. Mr. Steele talked about that with the dress code. I think they were saying something about his pants. I've seen that consistently with the dress code. It's going to be some way, shape, form. We're going to use this to make sure we abuse a few black people along the way while implementing the new dress code. Other folks, much obliged, caller in Florida. Please, please, please update us when you get the distinction, differentiation between African-American, Afro-American, or the white, black, black, white one, either or, if you get explanations for either any of those. Other folks, if you dialed in, if you have commentary, suggestions on what has been shared thus far, line should be open. Proceed. Yes, ma'am. Ivy.
Are you making any feedback at all?
You are good.
Okay. I think earlier when you guys were hearing feedback, I do apologize. It was me because I'm on the rope line and I forgot to put headphones, which seems to help. As far as the last caller who spoke, I remember someone saying that they wore slacks and maybe a dress shirt, regardless of, you know, the Fridays where you can wear whatever you want or it's more casual or, you know, what have you. However, it doesn't seem like that will help him because this race soldier seems to be targeting him and seems to be determined to find something all the time to terrorize him with because he showed that black self-respect with that black woman whom the race soldier refused to acknowledge in the past. Another thing that I wanted to bring up, as far as Allison Manswell, I believe is her name, I'll say this, VGQ to everyone, and you have to do what you have to do to survive. And, you know, I'm not a man, so I don't, I guess, have the same, I guess, types of problems. I have the same overall problem of victim of racism, but I have to kind of navigate it differently. But my view, as far as the voice thing, and to answer your question, Gus, and I told you this before, because you said you've been accused of being threatening and, you know, we can make our own decisions as far as your voice is concerned. I think that the consensus would be that your voice is very heavy. As far as Allison Maswell saying that, you know, we have been, you know, socialized into seeing black men as threatening, I don't believe that that is true at all. I believe that white people have propagated that to justify harming black men. I don't believe that they are afraid of them in any way, shape, or form. They are attacking them all the time, attacking you guys all the time. Scotty Reed came in and spoke about that. There's been many examples of that. black women aren't afraid of you either. You know, they love to flock around you just like white women like to flock around you. And, you know, speaking from a black woman's perspective, we like, you know, deep voices. We're not intimidated by that. We tend to, I guess, for lack of words, criticize if that is not the case, and name call and, you know, all of that. So I personally don't advise that men, you know, lower their voices or that they make it less deep or, you know, talk differently. Just talk how you talk. I mean, because at the end of the day, if somebody's going to fire you so-called over a voice, they just looking for a reason to fire you. And again, I'm a woman, so I don't necessarily have that problem in particular, and you got to do what you got to do to survive. But I just don't personally like that advice. I don't personally find it to be sound advice. There are other things that that have been advised on this program that, you know, I think is just, you know, incredible in terms of, you know, minimizing conflict and things like that. But I just don't think, you know, changing your voice, that's something that, you know, men should do. I think they should just, you know, be themselves. That's just, to me, that's just way, way, way too much. And the last thing that I wanted to say is that for a codified software developer, from what I heard, it sounded to me like that race soldier was trying to kill her. Trying to run her down with his car, whether he trying to run down her car or run down her personally, whatever the case may be, like that, you know, scared me. And I don't know. I don't know if, you know, she may never see this man again, or, you know, whatever, this terrorist ever again. And that'll be great. But if that's not the case, you know, I hope she calls the cops or do something to, I hope there's something that she can do to remedy that, because that really, really scares me. And I'm really sorry that you, you know, had to go through that. And, you know, that's all I had. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Gus. Oh, Gus, can I say one more thing?
Let's hear it.
I hope I can say this really quick. I've been meaning to say this to you. Thank you so much for all your support about my comments toward the cocaine crisis language versus the opioid crisis language and things like that. I heard you support me in that 3 times, and I've heard every one of them from Dr. Rossayan and all that. I've heard all of that, and I've been meaning to say something to you about it and to stress to you that I got that from you when I read your review like a million times of Mr. Fuller's book, The Code Book, and how you stressed how one of his main things is to be accurate with terms, and listening to you be consistent with that, just the way that you talk about racism, forget about the way that you talk to white people, just even the way you talk about racism, in my view, is very, very bold and very, very courageous. And if white people cannot stand that, because that's one of their main tools. And if anybody has any reason to be afraid of upsetting white people, it's a black male, because you guys are the number one targets. And I just admire you so, so much, and your support for anything that I say, or, you know, whatever the case may be, you just don't have no idea how much that means, because I admire you so much. And the majority of what I do and what I say and what I've learned from you and from your program. And so I just want to thank you so much for your support. Thank you so much for this program. And that's all I have on my line. Thanks, everyone.
Indeed. Just following the logic. I think all of us just trying to do that as best we can, and solving problems without creating new problems, or at least that's what I'm hoping. Hopefully people that listen to the broadcast will do more of the same, and especially paying attention to those words, because that is huge. The workplace context or any other environments, just paying attention to the words that we are using on a regular basis, because so much of racism, white supremacy is just right there with regards to terms, frequently using inaccurate terms to describe what's happening. But word usage, hugely, hugely important. Definitely stay alert. Did other folks suggestions, anything that we've heard thus far, or if you have your own situation? We have roughly 30 minutes. I think we got through, and baby was not even born. May have got through the whole program without the birth. Crazy. Any other suggestions, comments, feedback? Folks wanted to make sure they get in before we wrap things up.
May I add something, Gus?
It's B again from Toronto.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, there were a couple of points that I just wanted to add. First, well, before I even add those points, I wanted to concur along with Ivy's point that you're absolutely amazing. And yes, I also agree that I've learned a lot from you as well, and from also Neely Fuller in his book, and Grandsister, Dr. Kress-Welsling. So, I mean, again, thank you guys for opening this platform and the space for myself, callers and listeners to learn from and share views. And so thank you so much.
Much obliged. Oh, go ahead. My bad.
Oh, no. That's okay. I wanted to give you your space to respond. So thank you. So yes, the two additional tips that I wanted to add. The first one is be very, very wary of whites who like to give a lot of compliments. I call it akin to love bombing. And what love bombing is a technique that is usually either in cults or churches or in organizations where they compliment the person over and over and over and over, and then they use it as a manipulative tool to either devalue, or they use it as a manipulative tool to try to get you to seek validation by doing things that they want you to do. Case in point, there was a situation where I was on an assignment at a hospital, and one of the white nurses there, she's being like, "Oh, B, you're so wonderful. Oh, I like how you're handling this patient." Now, mind you, I was only working with the patient at the time for at least 3 days. So there was nothing that I could have done that was so wonderful to change this patient's life in 3 days. But mind you, this nurse was singing praises up and down. But then I was catching on quite quickly, because then the nurse would be saying, "Oh, don't worry, B can handle this, B can handle that." And then that's where I would have to stop her and say, "Look, that is outside my role. I cannot do that. Actually, that's the nurse's role. I am not a nurse. I cannot do that either." So just be really on your guard for those who, and not just whites, but for those who are just doing a lot of complimenting. I call it love bombing, or call it compliment bombing, because that could also be a manipulative tool. So that was tip number one. Tip number two, I would suggest, is for those who have children or who can influence children, to please teach them as early as possible about counter-racist techniques, and teach them about racism as early as possible. Because in some of the assignments I do as well, I sometimes work in group homes, open custody, and what happens is that some of the staff, especially white women, I've been noticing, have this way in which they would be going to the dress code, for example. They would be wearing quite revealing clothing, in the presence of underage, non-white, black young boys or young boys in training to become men. And, and they're very, even though there's a sense that there's something going on, that there's something that they're doing that is inappropriate, for no matter how many times you approach the manager saying, "Hey, this seems a little off," for some reason, there's always this explanation as to why, why their inappropriate behavior is normal. Again, maybe it's just another reason as to what it means to be white is, regardless of what they do, they can get away with stuff.
but teach the children very, very early so that they are aware and that they become less confused. I mean, I'm in my 40s now, and I'm just learning more. If we could teach the children earlier and even to protect themselves so they can avoid, getting abused, that would be great. In addition to that, if there's something that happens on your job, I know that a lot of parents, they like to keep it to themselves and they don't want to burden their children saying, oh, you know, this happened to me on the job. And I don't really, like, if I've lost my job or I didn't get the promotion or what, I don't want to burden my family to let them know as to why I didn't get the promotion. For me, I would like to say, tell the kids as to why. Tell them. Like, if there was someone that was, you know, being abusive towards you, tell them, and then tell them strategies that you're using to try and combat them so that they don't go into the workforce when they grow older with naive eyes, that at least they have a fighting chance, so to speak. I hope that wasn't long-winded, but thank you for listening.
Very important. Definitely appreciate those suggestions. Not lost on me at all to be in the birthing center, where that suggestion about talking to children as early as possible about the system of white supremacy. I absolutely concur. Children are very intelligent. They can process things much faster than we give them credit for. You would be surprised. Your children can understand even the concept of white supremacy if you explain it to them using terms they grasp. And the, I guess, stroking your ego, love bombing, as you called it, I have experienced that. And I mean, that can be devastating in so many different ways. So many of us, you know, not having an accurate understanding of what it means to be classified as white, not having an accurate understanding of what racism, white supremacy is, and those are one and the same. It's so easy to get you to lower your suspicion. And a lot of times that's all it takes to have one individual classified as white come in with a compliment or two. Oh, you're doing such a great job and blah, blah, blah. And boop. Peggy is definitely not racist. She loves my work ethic and she gives me all these compliments. Or Tom, he's definitely not a racist. He's been the nicest person since I've been on the job and always tells me what a great job I'm doing. Standard can be done. And it can be exactly what B was talking about, where they do that. And then it becomes, oh, yeah, now we can pile lots of work up on their plate. And the same thing we said before with Red, almost at the beginning of this broadcast tonight, they do that. You don't get any extra nickels. You don't get any extra shillings. You just get more work and more work. And then they come by every other day to give you an extra pat on the head or another compliment. No extra compensation. And a lot of times all these pretty sounding compliments and flowery words, a lot of times they never even get transcribed for your performance evaluation or review, go in your personnel file so that you can get some credit for all of this great work that you're allegedly doing. Standard, tacky, racist tactic. Never, ever, ever, under any circumstances, with the context, be, you know, elated, happy, swayed by compliments from a white person. Never, ever, never, ever. Other folks, if you have commentary, questions, suggestions, line should be open.
Can I be heard again, Jeff?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, thank you. So Ivy just touched on something, and where she just spoke about words, which reminded me of one more incident. And by the way, Ivy, I've been using your dog food epidemic. I like that better than opioid crisis. So thank you for that. So yesterday I was at work, and a young man, I would consider him to be not non-white. He looked as though he had a white parent, but he was clearly melanated. He had just gotten a new job. We're having this merger again, and I've spoken about this earlier, and some people are leaving because they're unsure of what's going on. And so he had gotten a new job. And I just asked his manager in a casual way, I just asked him if he had left, and he said yes.
then he said, you know, well, he has family in Chicago, so it's understandable. And I said, well, when would it not be understandable? And he says, oh, I didn't mean it like that. I meant, you know, just that he was leaving because he had a, you know, he had family in Chicago and everything. It's not like he left and there was nothing there for him. And I said, well, what do you mean? If he left and he went to a job in Chicago, there was something there for him, correct? And he's like, oh, I don't want you to read anything into that. And I thought that was really interesting. I wonder what he would have said had the person been white. I wonder what he would have said. So that's that last little bit I have. I'll mute my line. Thanks.
Wow. Details. Just in my experience, I think we are better software developer in Wisconsin. I think we get better at picking up on those types of comments as we get a better understanding of white supremacy, racism, better understanding of what it means to be white. We catch those sort of comments that I think, at least for myself, I speak for me, I wouldn't have paid attention to those sort of things. I wouldn't have seen anything incorrect about it or anything, certainly not something that needs to be followed up on to ask a question about what's been said. I just didn't think that way until getting a better understanding of counter-racist logic. Other folks have commentary that they would like to share. The person who called in 4717, did you have commentary?
Greetings, Gus, callers and listeners. I have an experience that I'd like to share and get some feedback on. So I'm at work a couple of weeks ago at my desk doing my job, and my manager comes over and he's like, hey, you know, are you busy right now? And I said, yes, I am. He says, okay, I'll come back. So he comes back about 10 minutes later and I'm still working. And so he's like, okay, I'll come back. So finally, I'm like, okay, let me just go and see what this is all about. Why is he constantly at my desk right now? So he's like, come with me. And that's all he says. I come with him. I'm thinking that we're going to a meeting, but we're walking past all of the meeting rooms. And we continue to walk around toward the front of the building. And I get there, and there's a process over there. I'm in complete shock. So the guy serves me. My manager stands right there, watching everything, listening. On the way back, he says, oh, I'm sorry I had to do that, but this guy's been calling me all week because I was off for maybe 4 days of that week. I was off, and then I came back that Friday. So after hearing that, I had a meeting with my union rep. And I said, you know, something just doesn't sound right. And now my manager has slipped up and told me that he's been in constant communication with this guy during the 4 days that I've been off. Oh, she's not here today. She's not here today. No, she's not here today either. She may be back tomorrow. So they're communicating back and forth all week. On that Friday, I get to work at 9 a.m. Before 9:30, my manager must have called him. Come to find out, he did. He called the man and said, hey, she's here today. So that's when he comes to my desk and he walks me down there. Then after we have the meeting with my union rep, my area manager comes and apologizes to me, even though it was a very insincere and genuine apology. He still does it, acknowledging they were wrong and that even HR has said that was inappropriate for him to be in communication with him and to even contact him and let him know that I was at work that day. So now, 2-3 days later, an email comes out saying, hey, if you order food, no one can now get inside the building. If you order food, they must call you, and you have to step outside the lobby to get your food. We are now in compliance with security policy, blah, blah, blah. We are now in compliance. So then now they have all these signs on the doors. They've changed the policy. They've had a meeting with all the managers. So you're obviously admitting that you've done something wrong. And I would just like some advice on or some feedback on, I want to take legal action because according to the employee handbook that I've read thoroughly, it does say that that is my sensitive or Yes, sensitive personal information that should not be disclosed to anyone, which the information he disclosed was my attendance records, whether I was at work that day or not. And the day of, he disclosed my location by telling him that I was at work that day. So I'm definitely want to take legal action, but I also want to, I don't think that's enough. Because had that been me, if I had disclosed anyone's personal information, I would have been terminated immediately. And all he gets is a meeting. But that was my story that I wanted to share, and I'll go ahead and mute my line. Thanks for taking my call, Gus.
Indeed. Can I be heard?
Yes, sir, Mr. Steele.
Yes, the previous caller, it sounds like you have some pretty serious grievances. If I were you, quick question. What state are you in, if you feel comfortable divulging that?
I'm in Oklahoma.
Oof.
Yeah.
If I were you, I would, fire up Yelp and type in employment attorney. And just start dialing down the list and talking to people about your case. One thing that I do whenever I have a situation like this arrive at, I definitely like to just consult legal people that I trust. And if you have had successful cases with any sort of lawyers in the past, oftentimes they may be the best place to go to initially for help. And I advise everybody online, if you haven't already, make an effort to find a legal person to network with, to have at your disposal that you can easily talk to about situations like this, and that can easily refer you to legal help in your area. So if you have a friend that knows the law in any area of law, be it criminal, civil, or anything, make a point to befriend them and make a point to befriend one that is in the jurisdiction that you live in. And then from there, I would go ahead and start vetting people. Oftentimes, in the past, I've had situations that have revolved around harassment and racism. And in those cases, I like to vet, potential lawyers by asking them if they believe that racism is a problem. And then I oftentimes will ask them a question like, do you believe that George Zimmerman is a murderer? And if they can't answer that question, to my satisfaction, I just say thank you, and then I go to the next lawyer. Find one that's sympathetic to your cause. Find one that that at least appears to care about you, and then proceed from there. But it sounds like you have some grievances that need to be resolved legally, and you could be entitled to some compensation for that. Be advised that when you do go the legal route, it is oftentimes very slow and can take years to find a resolution. And you just have to have patience. If you're looking to, hit a quick lick, as they say, this is not the area of activity to involve yourself in. I'll go ahead and mute my line.
Appreciate that, Mr. Steele. Now, this one, we did have a request for suggestions. So if you have other callers who have suggestions on how they would deal with this, I think the component in terms of your personal violation, in terms of them sharing your personal information without your consent, that was one part of it. And then I think you also said that you, in your view, the suspected racist who shared your information, that he was not, he did not get correct punishment for this violation. That's true. I agree. But I think that one would probably be really hard to get enforced. I think you would probably, unless I'm misinformed or missing it somehow, directly, indirectly, you would be having to go to whites to ask for you know, the punitive action to discipline him correctly, to be terminated. I totally agree. If this had been you, any other black person had done this, absolutely. Out of here. Update that resume or whatever. And, you know, last paycheck and got your security key, change the policy. We should never see you here again. You're trespassing for this person, you know, verbal warning or whatever it is. And we move on. It seems very difficult for that one. I think we talked about that before. Getting whites punished for the job seems like a very, very difficult task under the system of white supremacy, regardless of what they have done up to and including killing another black person. Very, very difficult to discipline a white person and correct discipline, the same type of discipline that a black person or non-white person would get for the same act. Did any of the folks have suggestions for our caller in Oklahoma, how they would deal with this situation?
May I be heard?
Let's see, Red in Nevada. Yes, ma'am.
Just real quick, I definitely appreciate Ken Steele's comments, but also it seems like once they do find out that the caller in Oklahoma is even seeking legal action, and I'm not sure, I don't want to say that the caller is confused or anything like that, but just even making sure to not even give the appearance that you're even angry about this. Because, you know, whites, they are constantly studying us. Even if you were to be outside anywhere where a white person or even a very confused victim that you may work with can overhear you even expressing any type of dissatisfaction about this, that would be my concern. And then also, I feel like there have been stories in the past about, like, union reps not really being helpful and more so erring on the side, just like with HR representatives, erring on the side of the company. So just kind of, I do feel like there may be some concerns with that, even them knowing about any like possible legal action. And then also the last thing would be just, I'm thinking about retaliation as well. Just with the fact that, you know, if you, like you said, you did try to speak to your union rep, and since these white people talk, just making sure that if you do have like another source of employment, just maybe start seeking another source of employment, just in case if they try to do something that, you know, terminate you for the smallest infraction. And I'll meet my line. Thank you.
Great piece, or a great suggestion, I'll say. Any non-white person, if you're listening, if you have any sort of problem on the job, be especially careful about talking or revealing your plans or even frustrations about that with other coworkers. I would say white or non-white, it should be painfully obvious that you're not doing that with anybody classified as white, but I wouldn't even do it with non-white people. It's just whites have shown themselves to be extraordinarily efficient at extracting information from non-white people, even getting info from non-white people about other non-white people, especially in a workplace context. So great advice on that one. I see the caller, Helen. We'll make sure we get you in before we wrap up. Did we have any other suggestions for our Oklahoma caller? They shared her personal information. Any other suggestions?
Yeah, real quick. Don't make your goal to punish the individual racist that did this. Oftentimes, that is going to be a losing proposition. Just go for the bigger target, which is the corporation. And, you know, just keep in mind that if you are going to take legal action, it's going to be against the corporation. That individual that violated company policy, they did so under the guise of doing, you know, the company's work. So it's really their issue that they have to take into consideration. I do know that in Missouri, they changed the law so that if you are going to, you know, go after someone at a corporation for violating the law or the rules, they made it so that you have to target the individual, and that the individual is the person who gets sued. So there's, you know, a lot of limits to the liability and limits to the damage. damages that you can collect from an individual as compared to an entire organization. So, you know, just be ambitious. So if your goal is to punish the individual racist, you may be disappointed. But if your goal is to get justice from the you know, organization, yeah, you can definitely do that. Also, keep in mind that the interests of, you want to find a lawyer who isn't colluding with the organization that you're going after, which, you know, can happen, and where people may find difficulty. You need to find a lawyer that is definitely financially incentivized to go after the organization and not protecting them. So that, you know, those are things that you kind of have to look out for and mitigate. I'll go ahead and mute my line.
Appreciate that, Mr. Steele. Did any other suggestions for Oklahoma caller? I see Helen on the switchboard. We got you. Any other suggestions? Okay. Person who dialed in, Helen, did you have a commentary that you wanted to get in?
Hello, hi, Gus, and to all the callers. This is Helen in New York. I just want to make a quick comment. At my job, work with predominantly white people, and here lately, ever since the Roseanne situation, I find them coming near my desk to make comments about it, not asking me directly, but not asking me at all, but, you know, just in a group, just standing near my desk within earshot of me to make comments about the Roseanne show and how they feel awful for all the cast members, and, you know, how they're all going to be fired and they all shouldn't have to pay for her being a racist. And to myself, not to them, but to myself, I just say I feel sorry for the young lady, the youngest little member, the non-white female. I feel sorry for her in the situation, not for everybody else, because I feel like everybody else knew that she was who she was, or is who she is, Roseanne. That's it, and I mute my line.
Much obliged, Roseanne. That's so tacky. And that's it. That's one of those where I would invoke, they might not even get that. I feel like that situation is so tacky, and that behavior to come up at my desk, might even put that with the love bombing, in quotes, that B and the Six mentioned before, to just come up and talk about this to make it seem like, oh, yes, we empathize with you and the plight of the Negros, and so sad what Roseanne had to say, calling you all apes and everything, and that's just terrible, and other folks missed out on that. And back to work. wouldn't have a question, an inquiry, nothing. And I'm very certain that not responding at all, that will cut that behavior out quickly. Like, man, we went over there and that nigger didn't even say anything. Just roll about our day. Did any suggestions on that one? White's coming up with these totally unrelated comments, have nothing to do with, I don't think you all are doing anything with ABC and Roseanne, but totally unrelated to work comments coming up to chit chat. Any suggestions or thoughts on that one? Yeah, super, super, super minimal. That would be one. I write it down that it was said. You can put that in your journal or what have you, but yeah, I would not even get involved or step into the conversation. Got important things that we're trying to get done that are work related. Any other comments folks want to make sure they get in last minute before we conclude? Anything else folks need to get in or concisely before we are done?
May I ask or add something?
Let's hear it.
I know I made a comment earlier about like how since it's getting hotter out here, when I say hotter, it's 110 degrees. So they have throughout the department, they've been sending out little memos about, you know, dress code, and actually throughout the whole building. But the one thing that I can't quite understand, because I made the comment about, you know, how there's disgusting white women and they just wear things that look like it's painted on them. But there's also an older black lady who they kind of just let her wear anything. Now she, you know, she looks presentable or whatever, but they say, you know, you can't have too much, you know, skin showing on your chest or bras or anything like that. And I just don't, I guess it's like, I don't quite understand like why that is. And I know when there was a comment made because she sits near me and she was asking, well, you know, why is it, you know, she's really not supposed to wear what she always wears. And I know I probably shouldn't have said that, but I'm like, I said, you know, you could wear it, but I can't because it'll be, you know, too much chest out or whatever. And then the supervisor, my supervisor, she also said, yeah, well, I also can't wear it either. But I'm just kind of wondering, like, is it, I guess it's like, I kind of don't understand where it seems like older women and older females, they can basically wear whatever they want. I guess nobody is supposed to be attracted to them, but everyone else, they will actually hunt you down, or I guess they'll find your supervisor and make you go home or whatever. So I was just kind of wondering about that. Now I'll get my line.
Well, that is interesting. Now, as I am not a female, I don't have as much expertise with that one. I'll have to think. If folks have a comment, I guess you can email. I'm even trying to think back because I have seen the wardrobe thing. I have seen that come up multiple times on jobs with a variety of people. Summertime, lots of different situations where that has come up, and, you know, all kinds of things. But older females, do they get more leeway with the dress code? I will, even older black females, I'll have to ponder. I guess listeners, you all can think on that one as well. Have you seen any evidence older people, older females, even older non-white males or females, that they're getting some sort of lax, or they're getting the benefit when it comes to dress code enforcement, that they particularly go after younger folks who might be more attractive? They're going after them with the enforcement. That is 3 hours, no birth. Still hanging out at the birthing center. We will be here tomorrow, I suspect, unless something wacky happens between now and then with the miracle of childbirth. But it should be Invisible Man, Ralph Ellison, study session number 7, unless memory is in error. We were at the eviction scene. That's what we'll be picking up at tomorrow. Normal broadcast time, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Saturday, compensatory call-in, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. And the global Sunday talk on racism this Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Pacific. That said, much obliged for everyone participating. I hope it was a constructive investment of your Thursday evening. Keep your composure on the job. Just repeat it as much as I can. That is primary. No other aspect of what we've been talking about matters if you do not stay composed. If you get upset, get emotional, put the logic down and just go off your feelings. If you're upset or whatever it is, generally what I've seen, whites, racists, they can easily deal with that. That is not a problem. They have no difficulty with an angry black person at all. Angry 20 black people, 50 angry black people, 1,000 angry black people. No difficulty with that at all. Be codified, follow logic. That seems to present a few more problems. In that vein, certainly sobriety would be best under conditions of white supremacy. We want to keep our brain computers working perfectly so that we can think clearly, come up with new solutions, concepts to permanently solve the problem: racist man, racist woman, racist child. In the birthing center, saying racist child. With that, while we are out and about, be sober, be buckled up. Let's do everything we can to minimize contact with race soldiers, badge or no. That's it. Creator, we ask that you help us remain patient with other black people, victims of white supremacy. We ask that you help us remain patient with ourselves. Remind us to demonstrate the highest levels of black self-respect at all times, in all places, each and every time we are in contact with another black person. It has been time. Replace white supremacy with justice immediately. Thankfully, software developer in Wisconsin is safe. That truck incident was extraordinarily scary, and yet another illustration of why this is not white privilege, this is not prejudice, this is not discrimination. This is terrorism. Systemic white terrorism. Cal signing out. Thanks all for tuning in.
Nigga, you so brainwashed.
I'm a victim, your brother.
Problem. You're a victim.
I'm a victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my conditioning. Mm-hmm. Even my conditioning has been conditioned.